This is PFW in progress.
I got a judge that's just aching to throw me in jail. I got no money, a dress code problem, not to mention your biological clock. Is there any more shit we could pile on to the top of the outcome of this case? Is it possible?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
All right, knock it off. You know, you ragging on me is not going to give me any great spontaneous knowledge.
Paul Perillo.
You just keep on asking about Chinese food. Can't you tell they don't have Chinese restaurants around here? Gotta let everybody know you're a tourist.
And Andy. And Andy?
Everything that guy just says is bullshit. Thank you.
Andy Hart.
Let me see. This is a tough decision you're giving me here. Get my ass kicked to collect $200. What do you think? I could use a good ass kick, and I'll be very honest with you.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
You stick out like a sore thumb around here.
Me? What about you?
I fit in better than you. At least I'm wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, yeah, you blend.
FNG, Mike Parenti.
Imagine you're a deer. You're prancing along. You get thirsty. You spot a little brook. You put your little deer lips down to the cool, clear water.
PFW in progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Bam! Bullet rips off part of your head. Your brains are laying on the ground in little bloody pieces. Now I ask you, would you give a f- what kind of pants the son of a f- who shot you was wearing?
All right. PFW in progress. And despite the prognostications of doom, PFW in progress will have a show today. And it's a big show. This is huge. What's the song?
The song is A Bad Day.
It's not a bad day. It's a bad day Sunday, but today is a new day. It's a new Patriots team. We're going forward, okay? And you know what?
As our cover says, backup plan.
I am very encouraged by the tenor of the true Patriots fan emails that have been coming in, because people are... They're not dwelling in, oh, God, we lost Brady. They're saying, okay, now what do we do? They're hitching up their pants. They're saying, let's figure out how we're going to, you know, win from this point on. And I think that people have the right attitude. I think we don't even have to worry about the team. The team is on board. I mean, they are ready to go. They are ready to go from Rodney Harrison on down. The chip on the shoulder is back. You know, they assume that people are going to think that they're not the team that they once were, and they are ready to play. People are going to step up. They're going to rally.
Jeff Garcia's coming?
I mean, if you are not a Patriot fan and a fan of another team, and you expect this team that comes to play you next week in particular – to lay down like dogs, forget it.
Well, it's not their job to quit. I mean, you can't expect them to just give up and say, well, we're screwed. We're just going to pack it in.
I pity the fool, and I pity the fools in the Meadowlands this Sunday.
Well, all right, Clubber, calm down.
They're in for a beating.
We have to look at it on paper. They've done this before. Every time we've ever said they're screwed. Now, admittedly, every time we said it, Tom Brady was still the quarterback.
This is a lot different.
They've gotten by with Mike Vrabel, an all-pro. They played without him. Richard Seymour, an all-pro. They played without him. Matt Light, an all-pro. They played without him. Randy Moss, an all-pro. They played before he got here. They've done it. Rodney Harrison, they played without him. Ty Law, an all-pro. They played without him. Now, again, admittedly, the most important position on the field still had the all-pro.
This is the guy who, on offense, the ball touches his hands on every play.
Right.
Okay? The quarterback is the most important position
in sports.
In sports, in football, there's no doubt about it. Patriots will have a quarterback. It's not like they're going to not play with 10 guys. They're going to have a guy there. Now, is he Tom Brady? Absolutely not. Can he do what Tom Brady has done in the past? Probably not. But can they still win without Tom Brady? I'm saying they can.
Win what?
How many games?
Competitive to get in the playoffs.
I agree.
And once you get in there, who the hell knows what happens?
I think they've come back to NFL reality. That's what it is. For so many years, you focused on Tom Brady. You had the best in the game. Now you're in that mix of teams that has plenty of talent across the board, but week to week, you go into games saying, well, if this happens, I think they have a good chance to win. If this doesn't, they...
Right.
You probably have a good chance to win.
We're the Chicago
Bears
that knocked off the Indianapolis Colts Sunday night.
Right.
You know?
You have
to
do it that
down,
way.
They're now down to the rest of the 80% of the league that has quarterback issues and worries week to week about what its quarterback's going to do.
And that's
true.
That's
where they are now.
Absolutely. But with 8 Pro Bowlers returning from last year and the game's best coach.
Well, this is a year the defense now has to carry the team, unlike last year where the offense carried the team. Now they have to return the favor and step up and be more like that 2003 team where you could win games with 3 field goals. Not that that's going to happen, but that you need that kind of tenor on defense, and you have to run the football. You have to run ball control offense, in my opinion. Run the clock and keep the other team off the field. That's what it has to be.
But the Bears, I mean, that's a good comparison. That's a team that is
defense
first. When they have a successful season, it's because their defense plays great football, carries them. They have a young quarterback who you're trying not to make mistakes, be a game manager, whatever. I think the Patriots have probably more talent on offense when you talk about Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Lawrence Maroney and Sammy Morris. So you're ahead of that type of a team, and that's a Bears team that, based on at least the first game, they're going to compete for a potential NFC playoff spot. So you're in that mix, and that's all you can ask for.
The raping and the pillaging continues. It's just that the last face you see leaving your house won't have a dimple on his chin. That's all. That's all. It's going to be somebody else.
What was that?
It's going to be somebody else.
I don't even
know.
The last person leaving your house?
Yeah, you know, as they shut the door and say goodbye, you know, I've taken
everything. After they raped and pillaged
you? I've taken everything you have.
And this is an orgy? What is this?
I've left you, you know, not a man anymore. You know, so
what are you talking about?
Look,
I'm telling you. I'm telling you. This team.
This was the last straw, wasn't it? You've officially lost.
Look, I'm not.
Kirsch, the raping will continue.
I'm not predicting 16-0. I might even have to go down from my 12-4 prediction with Brady.
Some are not, though.
But
Michael Smith, still saying 12-4.
Okay, good for him. Good for him. But what I am saying that every
Friendo
game.
Patriots.
Every game is going to be competitive in a dogfight.
I agree.
You know, and that's all you can ask for, really.
At this point,
I mean, what set us apart was that quarterback play. You know, that was really what set us apart of other teams. Now, we don't have that, but we still have the nucleus of as solid a team as there is in the NFL.
Okay, can I just interject one thing? I don't want to hear fans say that this is more fun now. That, well, last year wasn't enjoyable when we won by 45. No, screw that. When you kick everybody's ass, it's fun. Being on your heels every week and sitting at the edge of your seat is not fun.
It's not fun. It's more interesting. It's better theater, but it's not more fun and more relaxing.
The season became more interesting because every week you have to watch all four quarters.
Yeah, for the rest
of the
NFL, it became
more interesting. No, I'm just saying for Patriots fans, let's be honest, some Patriots fans had grown complacent. We had emails last year of people saying, you know, I kind of, at halftime, sometimes I go do stuff and come back just
to make
sure.
That's fine. Then the first two quarters are a great time. You have fun, turn off the TV, go outside, mow the lawn. Nothing wrong with that. That's fun. That's interesting.
I think the season became a lot more interesting for everyone, for fans, for
there's definitely
everyone.
More intrigue.
I think it's more interesting for everybody outside of New England, not here.
Oh, I think it's more interesting for everybody here
I think if you're a Patriots fan, you are glued to every move from now on.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be.
You have to be.
Right.
You have
because
to be.
Because the games are likely going to be
one-score
type games in the third, fourth quarter.
I think Patriots.com becomes more important. I think PFW becomes more important. Seriously, this show becomes more important. Watching the games become more important. I think any type of information you can get becomes critical now and understanding what this team is.
Can I project forward just a little bit for a second, and then we'll get back to obviously day-to-day business? I think this is bad news for the rest of the NFL for the next 4 or 5 years, because I think one Tom Brady doubted coming back from this injury is going to be virtually unstoppable.
Well,
because you know how I joked this offseason that maybe he lost a little of the fire, he wasn't here as often, maybe Giselle had dragged him away, family commitment.
Right.
Now he's going to hear the Carson Palmer was never the same after his injury. He has been an average quarterback since. Dante Culpepper flat out never came back and has retired. Tom Brady, he might not be able to do it anymore.
Right.
And I think in the starting next February or whenever he's done rehabbing and is just plain working again, the fire lit beneath him is going to be.
Well, I think you're right.
You can't put it out.
We'll talk about that in the offseason. But I do want to get, before we get to emails and calls, because we have Chris with the TIAN holding on. We have tons of emails lined up here. I cannot believe
you're doing the politician
the
thing.
The damn NFL
pointing with your fist.
And I didn't say the first word on not, you know, with the precedent that they've set with protecting a quarterback, not giving a fine out for that hit on Brady. After, you know, and I think Vince Wilfork has every right to be furious about this. Either they both weren't or they both were.
Was Wilfork in contact with a Bill when it happened?
He had a guy on his legs, and he leaned forward and kind of hit him with his forearm in his legs. Okay?
No, no. the blocker on Wilfork, was he contacting Wilfork and pushing him
Wilfork
in the general direction?
Came from the ground. He was on the ground when it happened, and he lunged forward.
So did Pollard.
So did Pollard.
But the difference the NFL is saying is that he was in contact with a blocker when it happened.
He was fighting through a block at
right.
the time.
That is crap.
Sammy Morris was blocking.
He was fighting.
I know. But
I
so
need,
was
I need to see a replay of the Wilfork.
Let me tell you something. I haven't seen it in a year.
It is absolutely bull.
What do you care?
And here's what I think.
But what does it matter if they find the guy $10,000 or not? It changes
nothing. Brady's still out.
I know.
It doesn't add a penalty. It doesn't add anything.
If I'm Vince Wilfork, I'm upset. But here's what I bet you the NFL took into consideration.
Oh, boy.
Okay, this kid showed remorse afterwards. Okay? Obviously, he didn't want to do it. There's no doubt that there was no intent there. I'm not doubting that. But they also said that if we find this guy, in addition to him doing what he did, and worst case scenario, Brady never plays again, we have now defined his career.
Who, the guy?
Yeah.
Pollard?
I think his career may be already defined regardless of fine.
Well, if Brady comes back and everything's, you know, but I think that, you know, he showed remorse immediately afterwards, and I think they took that into consideration, and they said, you know what, let's not do it.
I mean, define his career. He's a young safety. He could go on to have a nice career.
Believe me, he's going to be the guy that knocked out Tom Brady.
Well, Rodney Harrison's not the guy who knocked out Trent Green.
Right.
Nobody remembers that anymore.
But Trent Green came back. I'm saying if he doesn't come back.
Trent Green was never the same when he came back.
Well, Trent Green is no Tom Brady, all right?
Well, I agree with that.
You know?
We know that.
Tom Brady is probably one of the faces of the NFL.
But you think
game.
In 3 years someone's going to say, oh, that Pollard guy,
I think people are going to remember the injury. I know Al Downing is the guy that threw that pitch to Hank Aaron that broke Babe Ruth's record.
Well, that's a record-setting moment.
But I'm just saying, this is a historical, momentous moment in a bad way, but that's how this guy's going to be defined if Brady never plays again. And I think the NFL took that into consideration.
But either
if there ever were a time to set a precedent and protect a quarterback, this would be the guy to protect, wouldn't it?
Well, I think it's crap. I don't think Wilfork should have been penalized. I don't think this guy should have been penalized.
Yeah, I agree too.
But
yeah.
If you're going to set a precedent, let's be fair about it.
Okay.
You know, because the problem with the league is if they don't come down hard on the Patriots every time, you get the Bill Polians of the world screaming the minute they have a ruling in favor of the Patriots. Believe me, that they don't like listening to Bill Polian and that crew.
Okay.
So that's all I have to say about Vince.
He's fired up.
I am. That was actually, was crap.
That's all I have to say about
crap.
That.
So you don't think he was being pushed and was in contact with, because I think they treated it the same way they treat a punter.
I think he was.
I think it would be the same thing if that had been a punt and it had been Chris Hansen, they would have said he was blocked into him.
I don't think he should have been penalized, and I said at the time I didn't think Wilfork should have been penalized.
I need to see that play again. I haven't seen that of late.
I think it was crap. Paul's here.
Did Wilfork hit him with the helmet or the shoulder?
With his
forearm.
He gave
him a flipper. He threw an arm out, flippered him.
All right.
Yep. Paul, what's going on?
Not much, Freddy.
What are you doing today? You got the show later?
I'm doing everything that you're
doing. We got our TV show we got to film today. Our first show.
I also have a caller.
Our first show on Naked.
I've been here the whole show.
Should I say we had a caller?
Our first show on Naked we're filming. It'll be on tonight.
Guys, yes. You're here. Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
11 o'clock.
Now, what do you think we're going to talk about?
I gave him the special teams. It's besides quarterback play, what's the most important thing that needs to happen for the Patriots to be a playoff contender? That's what you guys are going to argue. On the phone right now, we have Chris with a TIAN. Chris, how you doing? Chris? He's gone. All right. Anyway. I mean, we have to get this stuff out. Every radio show talks for us. They don't take callers right off the bat.
Yeah, this has been 15 minutes. Most people don't get on.
Paul, what are you doing this afternoon?
It's only 12:15. I mean, for crying out loud.
Most shows make you wait a half hour.
Paul just finished his sandwich. We can't just, you know, take calls right away.
Okay.
I'm fine.
And we got a call back.
All right. Is he on the phone? No? No. Now we're going to talk again, and he's going to get mad.
All right. Well, let's talk business then.
All right.
What do you think about the way the because I know we got a lot of emails, people ask PFW, call Dante Culpepper, call this guy. There were reports that Chris Sims and Tim Rattay were being sent to town to potentially work out, but
yep.
Bill Belichick definitively said yesterday.
I have a theory on that.
I do too, that they didn't work anybody out, that they didn't give any physicals, and
what's
they said we've had a lot of calls.
What's your theory? Because
I'd rather hear yours.
Well, the report Sunday night was Chris Sims was on a plane coming up to New England already.
But that was accurate.
Paul, will you let me finish?
He doesn't want to talk to you anymore. He stopped to ask you a question.
By the way, those are the first three words I said on the show. He's already
just let me finish, okay? Report Sunday night that he's on a plane. Then we find out Tim Rattay was also coming up. Then during the press conference, Belichick is asked, have you worked out anyone? He specifically says, no, we haven't worked out anyone, which is probably accurate. If someone had asked the question, isn't anyone coming in to visit, it might have been a different answer. But I think that because the report now is the guys were here and Belichick sent them away without working them out, without giving them a physical.
Right.
I think he was so steamed that the word got out Sunday night that they were on the way up here, that he let them come up and said goodbye. And you know what happened is these agents, as soon as they get the call to come visit, they let the word out to see what the public opinion is going to be, to start fueling the fire. Oh, Chris Sims could be a Patriot. See what's going to happen. And Belichick was furious about that and said, see you later.
So he screwed his own team out of spite?
That's my theory.
That's not my theory.
No.
I like Andy's theory.
My theory is they were doing due diligence in the immediate aftermath. So, which is, you know, everybody's scrambling. Okay, we might be losing a quarterback. Let's bring in. And then they thought about it more, and they said, we're bringing in these JAG quarterbacks to back up Matt Cassel because there's no way those guys were being brought in to be the starter. Matt Cassel is our starter. He knows our system. He's been here 4 years. And I also don't think they wanted Matt Cassel looking over his shoulder. I don't think they wanted him saying, yeah, they brought in Chris Sims. He started games in this league, and now everybody's just waiting for me to fail.
I understand that, but they still, I think, need some insurance. I mean, what I thought is you bring in Chris Sims – But Castle's your starter.
But he's never started. So automatically, he has more starts. Everybody's saying, well, Castle's never started. He barely beat out Gutierrez.
Chris Sims doesn't know the system.
No, I know, but that's so my point. Basically, everybody's going to say, well, in 3 weeks, it'll be Sims as soon as Castle gets done.
Well, but everyone can say that, but as long as Bill Belichick's not saying it,
but
it's
they didn't
not
want
true.
Castle hearing it or dealing with it.
But you know what?
Castle's team.
But Castle
right
had to
now,
hear a lot of
I know,
stuff
but what if he fails?
Then he fails.
But you got what's your backup plan?
Kevin O'Connell?
Sure.
No,
he
it's
fails.
Not.
Then
you
we're going down
a
crappy road. I mean,
you have
then
to have
the sky is falling.
Okay,
that's business as usual. You have to bring somebody.
This is
in.
Matt Cassel's team.
Looking over his shoulder, that's too bad.
Bill Belichick handed him the backup keys for the last 3 years and is saying, "I have ultimate confidence in you. I don't need some has-been Chris."
So you just think it was a change of mind? It was a knee-jerk reaction Sunday night, and they had a change of mind.
I think it was potentially a change of opinion between the two faces of this franchise, right? Because Scott Pioli, when he sees Brady goes down, right, his immediate job is to, I got to get guys ready. My job is to provide talent for Bill Belichick to work with. So he's doing his due diligence, making calls. Rattay's out there, Sims out there. Let's get them up, see if Bill likes them. Then they met. Then they knew for sure he was out. Because my guess is those guys might have been called at halftime of the Chiefs game by Scott Pioli or his underlings. Then they met and they talked it out, and Bill goes, this is Matt Cassel's team. We go nowhere if we have to play Chris Sims. So why are we bringing him here? We don't want Matt Cassel looking behind him. We don't want Matt Cassel thinking about anything other than the fact that I've trusted him to be in this spot for 3 years. It's his team. Here are the keys. Here's the show. Go.
Do you think it has anything to do with once they knew for sure that they were putting him in IR and then they changed their mind?
No, I just think it was the timing of it.
Paul, what do you think?
I think his theory is a lot more plausible than yours.
But what do you think?
I think what Andy just said.
You agree with Andy?
He was going to say what I said.
I agree with half of what Andy said.
I don't think there's really any chance that Bill Belichick decided – out of spite not to sign someone he thinks could help a team. I don't think there's any chance of that.
No chance of that.
Well, if it was an even thing, you know, Castles, you know, we're just going to try him out. But, you know.
No, but as you said, you need a backup now. So in your theory, he would still have to call the guy whose agent didn't pop his mouth off and bring somebody in, right?
Right.
So what's the point?
Well, maybe there's somebody else on the you know, that they're looking at.
No, but that's my point. He said we've gotten a lot of calls. He really tried to distance himself from that there's even a job to be open here. Matt Cassel has the job.
I think, you know, I was surprised that that story got out so soon, that the Patriots are already bringing in Chris Sims that night. And I'm wondering, where did that information come from?
Maybe the whole thing was a charade, and they wanted to give Matt Cassel the
And the thing is, whether or not you know, you're thinking that Chris Sims could be down the – you know, the last thing – you want Matt Cassel, like Mike said, to – this is his team right now.
Right.
You know, so, you know, the last thing you want is we're immediately bringing in somebody else in to, you know, to right the ship.
So maybe the whole thing was a charade. Maybe they called him in just to then say we have no interest.
Well, I'm more on board with what you said about maybe Pioli possibly making some preemptive phone calls right away.
Right.
And then Bill says, you know, I don't really like these guys. Send them home. Not that I'm worried about poor Matt Cassel's psyche.
Oh, I do.
There's no problem with Matt Cassel having somebody behind him pushing him. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want competition anyway?
Then I don't think it makes any sense because I do think you need another quarterback.
I do, too, but maybe those two aren't the guys.
Unless you're using it as a tactical, you have a plan here to boost Matt Cassel's confidence by showing him how much faith you have in him that
maybe
you don't want these other guys.
Okay, all right, okay.
Couldn't you
do the same thing without bringing in anyone? Say, we're not even going to bring anyone in.
Yeah, that's what I don't know.
Faith in Matt Cassel.
That's what I don't know, whether they called him just to make a show of it or whether somebody called him and Bill said, no, now that's just – that muddies the water. I want Cassel to have a clear mindset going forward.
Isn't there a possibility that Bill and Scott, right from the get-go, wanted these guys to come in to talk about being a backup? And these guys got here and weren't really interested in just being a backup. They were interested in coming here, maybe being a backup for a week or two while they learned things, and then –
a possibility.
Having the job handed to them and they didn't like it when they found out that wasn't going to happen?
Then
could be.
Those guys are idiots,
right.
In my mind. Because,
yeah,
I mean,
they would have a very high
if all this stuff we're
themselves.
Saying is true, that there's still a lot of talent here, you don't want to go and try. Sooner or later, if you're the backup and Cassel is stinking, they're going to hand you the job, whether they promise it to you now or not. So to come in with, like, oh, I'm this big, bad veteran backup quarterback. Unless
right, no one else is signing him.
Right.
You know?
I think that would be a terrible
decision.
Yeah,
but it doesn't stop players from having high opinion of themselves regardless of their talent.
That's my point. And we've heard these stories about Dante Culpepper
right.
throughout the offseason. He's had offers, and he wants too much money.
Well, if he were one of the names, I think that would be plausible. But these guys, I mean, Chris Sims hasn't played in forever. He was nearly dead. I would think he wants to do anything he can to get on an NFL football field and would be willing to take any job that anyone offers him.
Yeah. Some guys
have
a high
sense of
entitlement.
You know what Brady said, they've been contacted by a lot of guys. Maybe he's just doing a favor to the agent and saying, oh, yeah, bring, you know, if you want to come in, we'll talk. But we're not going to promise you anything in the way of a tryout, you know, or anything like that. So that's what they did. They came in, talked, and that's it.
I just think if they still fancy themselves that they should be handed a starting job, then those guys are...
And I think we're talking about a backup here.
Yes.
Because I don't think there's any question that Belichick has his full 100% confidence right now in Matt Cassel. That's the guy. He's going to have to go out there and fail for an extended period of time before he contemplates making him.
I agree with that.
None of the names being brought up are any better than Cassel in this position right now. None of them.
And if that were to happen, I think with Andy's second point about, you know, at that point, you might as well just go with O'Connell because if he goes out and, you know, and goes 2-6 and you say, well, you know what, he's just not the guy. Well,
What's
the sense of signing a Chris Sims or a Dante Culpepper to be a caretaker for the rest of the year? And I mean, you're done anyway.
And another aspect of this, and this is not meant to be a shot at Matt Cassel, but he's never won a competition at a high level. And maybe Bill didn't want him competing, even in his own mind. Because Bill can say 100 times, Chris Sims is here to be your backup, but unless Matt Cassel 100% believes he's there to be my backup, it could cause an issue for him. He lost out to Carson Palmer, albeit close and liner close, all those things. But maybe he beat Gutierrez, but I'm not sure there was ever a competition. You know, us media types might have made
that
it a competition.
That to me is the thing that makes the most sense, isn't it? Just bring him back.
Sure.
Right.
Doesn't that make the most sense to everybody?
I guess so, yeah.
He knows the system, and you bring him back. Now, maybe they want to wait a little while for Andy's theory. You don't even want him around, so
right.
Cassel worries about looking over his shoulder if he has a bad quarter
available.
Or two.
And he's not going to
no
be going
really
anywhere
snatched
anyway.
Him up off, so.
No, you know another
he
one of
our
points.
He might be at a hotel down the street.
You know, another one of those situations where, you know, the Patriots players were, you know, waiting to get scooped up around the league at cut time, and very few of them did.
Right. It's Matt Cassel's team. You win and you lose with Matt Cassel under center.
On the phone is Chris with a TIAN. Chris, how you doing?
I don't know. I feel like I'm in space right now. I don't even feel like I'm here. It's like you just can't believe it happened. I was actually at the game.
Ooh.
And I saw the play. And, I mean, just, you know, listen, the season's not over, but the breath just came right out of me. And, you know, I'm actually looking at Moss, and I'm saying, we fumbled the ball, and then you look back and you see, you know, number 12 with his face mask buried in the turf, and it's just a shock. It's a shock to the system.
It was definitely a shock. I think 68,000 people were right with you because on that next defensive stand, there wasn't a sound.
No, I mean, it was, you could hear a pin drop, literally.
Yep.
I mean, you literally could have heard a pin drop, and, you know, and I'm sort of what Mike, you know, I'm not about to pack the season up by any means, but as far as it being interesting, yeah, you want to go back to 01 and 03 when we were grinding games out? Yeah, that was fun, but it was pretty nerve-wracking. You know, I got used to them putting up 30 and 40 on people, so that's going to be an adjustment for a fan.
It is going to be an adjustment, and it is going to be nerve-wracking, but you know what? It's just football.
It's football.
It's not like if we lose, unless you're a crazy bettor.
No,
you're gonna really lose anything, so it's fun.
And they can't take away the three you won. It's not like they start taking away Super Bowls or this whole
right.
era changes.
Right, it's fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, and being a fan and knowing, you know, what this team is made up, knowing the coach, it's definitely something. I say interesting, but it's definitely, you know, it's worth watching every week. And I actually, you know, there is a part of me now that can't wait to see Castle get out there on Sunday.
I can't wait. I mean,
see what they're made of.
It's interesting to see what he's going to do now, given his first
pro start.
I cannot
wait for Sunday. I want to see what's going to happen.
First post-high school start.
Especially against the Jets, and it's a division game, and it's against the Jets, and the season's definitely not lost, but it was just I think I speak for a lot of people, it was just a real, real shock, obviously.
I feel bad for Tom Brady. I mean,
who doesn't?
I feel more bad for Tom Brady than anything. I don't feel bad for the Patriots. These guys are still getting paid. They still have their jobs. They still have a chance to go out and compete. I feel bad for Tom Brady. But
everybody, you know, coaches, fans, everybody went through the draft and the training camps and, you know, watching everything and reading everything and hearing everything. And now it's, you know, obviously it's wide open in the East, but I still like our chances. I'm sorry. I mean, until the Jets and until Buffalo or Miami beats us, or one of them does, you know, you still like your chances, absolutely. And I still think we know the division well. We've had success in the division is phenomenal, obviously, with number 12. But, you know, nobody knows the division better than us.
I like my chances even if the Jets do beat us next week, depending on how they do it.
Well, absolutely. But let's circle the wagons, boys, and just go forward. That's all we can do.
That's all we can do. And I think we have every reason to be, you know, to say we can do it.
You don't absolutely. Think if the Jets win Sunday, that's kind of an early shift in the balance of power?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, we haven't lost in the Meadowlands for a long time.
Yeah,
but it's already a shift. I mean, whatever happens Sunday, there's a shift in power, you know?
Sure.
Like I said, what kind of separated us from a lot of teams was Tom Brady. Now we've got a really good nucleus of team with the best coach in football, and now we got to see what happens, you know?
We'll see. You guys got lunch today?
We did.
Okay, well, Thursday. I'm off for Thursday if you guys don't have anybody yet.
We love you.
You are in now. Thank you, pal.
All right, I'm in. Thanks,
see you,
guys.
Christian.
You're the all best, right, Christian.
Attaboy, Christian.
I got to give Christian and the other 67,999 people credit, too. I also really liked the Matt Castle applause backed up at the two-yard line when he came on the field. I, too, like Randy Moss, thought they were cheering because Brady must have come out of a tunnel somewhere, and he didn't. And I thought that was... You know, these fans take a lot of crap for being quiet, not knowing when to cheer, whatever. I thought
that was
cool
a time
moment
to cheer.
For
that
Matt
was a
Castle.
Time to cheer.
A good
and
show
was,
of support for the new guy.
That was well done, Gillette Stadium fans.
You know,
absolutely.
He was embattled in the summer, and that was a good time to give a guy a lift, and I think he got a lift from it. And then obviously his pass shortly
Sammy
after.
Sammy Morris
that.
Didn't. Sammy Morris almost got lifted into the end zone on those two plays.
But that play, that third play that he had,
tremendous throw,
unbelievable,
perfect throw.
And I'll be honest with you, I have no problem if that's the offense. If it's Sammy Morris here, Lawrence Mooney there, Oh, we need a play, find Moss. I mean, there's worst offenses to have. I mean, we talk about Dante Culpepper. He ran an offense like that where when he needed a big play, he threw it up to Moss. I mean,
and
you
were pretty
you
prolific
can play in this league under that. I'm not saying 15-1 or any of that crap, but be competitive. If they can run the ball a little and do that, they got a chance.
And here's the thing. You know, I heard somebody on the radio say yesterday, there's no doubt that physically Matt Castle can't do what Tom Brady can do. See, I disagree with that. I think physically he can. It's the mental part that I think Brady separates himself from other people. It's that field awareness and understanding the defense and being able to make split decisions and not folding under pressure. That's what separates him and the greats like Montana right. from the other quarterbacks.
The experience.
And so now, you know, you got to give, you know, Matt Castle, now that he knows it's his job, and, you know, who knows? Maybe he can develop into a good, serviceable, you know, quarterback who, you know, can operate under pressure and make decisions on the fly.
Well, it's still a game of inches, too, though, Fred, in terms of you throw the ball 1 inch behind a receiver or 1 inch ahead, it could disrupt the whole play. And I think Brady's accuracy is pretty damn impressive, too, and that's a physical attribute.
Well, but is he the most accurate quarterback in the NFL? No, he isn't. I mean, well, how many times
I don't know about that. If he's not, he's
up
top
there.
Top three.
Percentage-wise, it's completions, but
how many times have we started
a game and said, oh, he's off, he's adrenaline, he's yeah. off, he's
and
high.
And one
low.
Out of every yeah. two dozen is when he throws the four picks and you go, hey, he had one of his clunkers today.
Yeah. I mean, I think
there's a reason we notice it early because you're used to seeing accurate.
But I think a lot of these NFL quarterbacks are very accurate.
See, oh, I disagree. You watch a lot of games and you can catch a ball. How many times have we heard a receiver say, I catch the ball where I can do something with it? If I'm running a slant, I catch it in stride.
Right.
If I am running a comeback, I catch it where I'm supposed to. He puts the ball where it's supposed to be, not just where it is good enough to
when
be completed.
When we talk about him being off, I think that's just a product of we see every one of his 500-some-odd
right.
passes, and we don't see everybody else's.
Yeah.
Off by his standards.
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, there was
everybody else's.
One of the better throws that Castle made on Sunday was a third-down conversion to David Thomas. It was an 18-yard gain. Kind of wasn't a drag across, but he was kind of on the far seam, and the throw was back hip, and Thomas made a nice play on it. He was so open that he was able to catch it, spin around, and get upfield. That ball with Brady is on the outside shoulder, and he's
right.
catching it, turning around, and going. Now I'm not ripping Castle for it. He made a nice play, and you know it was a big third down conversion. It was a big play in the game, but I just think those are the kind of plays. Brady very rarely would put that on the back hip like that with a guy that open.
And Castle might develop into that. I mean, the
right
important
now,
thing for him right now is to get better every series, every snap, every game is to build. You know, I thought he had an adequate start. I didn't think Sunday's action was great. I thought he threw a couple balls that could have been picked off. And if those get picked off, it's a very different game. You got by against a team that may be one of the worst half-dozen teams in football this year, a lot of young players, but if he can build on that and be a little bit better this week against the Jets, I think he has some physical tools. I thought he ran a couple times when he needed to run, but didn't necessarily do what we've complained about in the preseason, which is, uh-oh, my first read's not there, tuck it and run. I mean, he needs to find that balance because he does have the ability, I think, at times to make some plays with his legs and maybe bring a little bit of a different wrinkle that wasn't always there with Brady.
Well, I'm sticking to my guns in what separates Brady is his head.
Well,
that's what makes him great.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, but
you're poo-pooing his accuracy.
Well,
I'm saying if he had the same head as Matt Castle or you know half of the other quarterbacks, he wouldn't be great. You know,
you're saying they're physically the same quarterback?
Not who? Castle and Brady? I think maybe Brady's a little bit more accurate.
I think he's one of the top three accurate quarterbacks.
I think Castle has a strong arm.
Manning's accurate,
certainly with less wear and tear at it at this point in his career. But you can't minimize you know the playing under pressure and the
we all agree with that.
That was subtle, by the way. A lot of tread left on those tires. Matt Castle hasn't thrown a lot of balls.
You got to admit,
plenty of bullets in that gun.
I think that's true. Right?
Fred can turn something into a positive like nobody's business.
I gotta say, I was a little. I thought he got off to a pretty good start in that game and had a nice 98-yard drive, but I was a little bit disturbed in the fourth quarter. They gave him three tries to either tie or win the game because they couldn't run out the clock. And those are some of the things you have to look at, too, that have to get better. And against a better team that might not
waste a
first and goal from the five, it could be a problem.
Look, we have to look at the competition on Sunday. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs, I said to somebody, they might be lucky to win a game this year. I mean, they really don't look good.
Playoffs.
You know, but I think the defense can get better. It has to get better now. It has to step up, and I think this is the kind of thing we've seen it before with this team and other teams, where you know the adversity sets in, guys rally and they just step up their game, play better as a team, play better as individuals. you know, and they kind of rise to the moment.
And they do need to step up because we haven't seen great play defensively yet. I thought they did a good job against Larry Johnson up front.
I thought Wilfork was a man.
But they had breakdowns on defense still. And
yeah, big one in the last
If
drive.
You're expecting the defense to carry you, they're going to need to – I mean, let's be honest. I know fans are supporting the team, but a couple weeks ago we were getting a lot of emails like, I got to tell you guys, I think they're a 10-6 football team. And that was with Tom Brady under center. That was based on the preseason and what they were doing.
Right.
So
well,
if you thought they were 10-6 with Tom Brady.
They were looking at the
defense.
What
are they with Castle?
Right.
And the runs that they were giving up and saying, wait, we're supposed to be good up front. You know, I think you did see a different defense in this game than we had seen the preseason.
Against a Larry Johnson who hasn't been Larry Johnson for a year and a half. And against a reworked offensive line and against a quarterback who stinks.
Well, the point is.
You just said they might not win a game. Just let's keep that in mind.
No, the point is this is not the defense that we saw in the preseason. The defense we saw in the preseason would not do what we saw in this game.
Well, but you just said they might not win a game, so they might be one of the worst offenses in football.
I'm talking specifically.
If Larry Johnson is Rudy Johnson and his career is over and he's become a 2.7 yard per carry back, then that offense is not very good.
Well,
they're Tony Gonzalez, a young receiver who can't catch, a young quarterback who can't throw, and an old washed up running back.
All right, just take it from
if they had done what they did in the preseason, they would not have been able to stop Larry Johnson.
I'm just saying, I think other teams had more talent, maybe.
If they played the Chiefs in the preseason, maybe we wouldn't have been so
worried.
You
just said they might not win a game.
Well, I mean, you know, we played the Ravens and we played Tampa Bay and, you know.
Tampa Bay, a playoff team from a year ago.
Well.
A year ago.
Yeah, I you know, so I'm just saying that they looked a lot better front seven than they did in the preseason.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think they looked good, but if what you believe,
I mean,
that's a terrible football team.
I mean, we saw missed tackles. That's not Larry Johnson. That's not, I mean, in the preseason. We saw guys filling gaps.
I thought that the defense played fine on Sunday, but I'm not going to get lost in that. It was a terrible offense they played, and that helps you.
I'm just saying, when it comes to run defense. Okay.
They were okay.
You weren't seeing in that game what you saw in the preseason. You were seeing guys.
But we also saw
them
for
better
the whole
fundamentally
game.
Sound football.
If they had played a whole game, it might have been different.
Maybe, but you know, maybe then we were wrong to get worried in the preseason.
No, I'm still worried. I'm very much worried.
Some of the
that.
Guys are different. Like John Lynch struggled in the preseason when he played.
Right.
The last couple of weeks, he missed some tackles. He wasn't out there.
I'm very much worried about that aspect.
Of the defense, run stop.
Yeah.
And didn't they run right at Ty Warren?
You're worried about run defense?
I'm worried about the defense.
Overall.
Period.
Getting off the field on third down.
Almost all 11 guys. I'll leave it at that. Yes, they were. Yes, a bad offense was 50% on third down.
So you're worried about all of them?
I'm worried about the defense.
Okay.
Period.
Especially when you want to elaborate on that?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Paul, you know, you can be honest, okay?
Paul's not feeling well.
I'm not feeling comfortable with the defense. That's honest.
But why? Why?
I don't think they're that good. I think the offense carried them in 2007, and the offense won't be able to do it in 2008. So, therefore, I'm worried about the defense.
So, you know, but that's fine. But, I mean, from what I saw from Wilfork, I don't think he's overrated.
I didn't say anything about anybody being overrated. This is I never went. That word never came out of my mouth.
Okay, I think he's probably the best nose tackle in football. All right.
Okay.
I think Richard Seymour is going to have a good year. Right.
Okay. I'll be honest with you. I was a little disappointed in him. I expected him to own Brandon Albert,
but they never went his side.
No, I expected all day long to just be embarrassed for Brandon Albert, and he had that big hit after he released one ball.
But I think Kansas City thought the same thing and ran every play at Ty Warren. Ty talked about that
after
the game.
They also threw the ball some. I was expecting the duo of Richard Seymour and Adalys Thomas to be in the backfield every single second, and I didn't think that was the case by any means.
I thought the quarterbacks were under pressure pretty much every drop back. They only had four sacks.
They knocked Croyle out of the game.
I shouldn't say only four sacks. Four sacks is a lot. Plus, I thought he was under pressure pretty much every pass.
Well, two sacks came from Mike Vrabel.
So
I don't care who they come from.
I'm talking about Richard Seymour. How do I analyze Richard Seymour's play when I'm talking about the left outside linebacker on the other side?
Well,
I'm talking about a one-on-one matchup between Richard Seymour and a rookie tackle who'd never played tackle before.
I don't think it was a one-on-one matchup.
So, he got double teamed some, but I expect Richard Seymour to see that.
I thought
too.
He still was a noticeable
but
presence.
If he gets double teamed
down.
By a rookie tackle and a guard,
but if he's getting double teamed, it allows a guy like Adalius Thomas or Mike Vrabel to make a play.
I understand how defense works. But my point is, he's playing a rookie tackle. If he can't do anything against a rookie tackle in a double team, what's he going to do against a good tackle?
I don't know. If you're running away from the guy, what do you expect him to do?
I expect him, first of all, to be a force. I said this all offseason.
And do what?
Can I finish my sentence?
Okay.
I expect him to be a force disrupting the passing game. Because we've all said the secondary is questionable, correct? Before all this nonsense that hit Sunday,
right.
We said the front seven is going to have to carry more of the load this year because the secondary is a work in progress. And we said Richard Seymour and Adalius Thomas and Mike Vrabel are clearly a part of that, but Richard Seymour, if he's back to his all-pro form, is in the backfield virtually every play, generally driving one or two players into the backfield,
and
collapsing the pocket.
You didn't think that he periodically was doing that?
Periodic.
Andy.
If he's periodically doing it against Brandon
and
Albert,
when he was an
then I'd like to see what he's going to do against
when he was
an actual
all-pro,
tackle.
Do you think that he was
an actual
right,
tackle, not
exactly.
A guy who'd never
when
played
he was
an tackle
he never led the team in sacks.
I
and
didn't
even
say
when
sacks.
He was an all-pro, no,
you're continuing to muddy the water.
But listen, even when he was an all-pro, being voted as an all-pro, all of us were saying, you know, it's hard to see what he does, but he
see,
must
I
be
disagree.
Great because all the other
I thought it was easy to see what he does.
Well, you never mentioned it on this show.
Actually, I did many, many times.
No,
because you don't
our thing was, you know, other coaches say and players say he's so great, it must be true because it's hard to evaluate what he does.
I thought a layman could watch and say, wow, that defensive end is in the backfield with his hands up every single play.
Oh, and he wasn't? Come on, Andy.
He was not in the backfield every play this week, and that's what I expected.
Do you know that that was his assignment in every play, to get upfield?
To beat the guy blocking him, yes.
Maybe it was to drop back. Who knows? You don't know.
Now I have even more questions about the defense if we're dropping Richard Seymour into coverage all the time.
I mean, I think he had a fine game. I thought the front seven
decent game.
Had a fine game.
I thought the front seven had a decent game.
I think
game.
They still have problems getting off, you know, on third and long, and that they've got to shore that up.
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
I think the play to Darling at the end was a complete breakdown.
No question.
You know? That should have never happened. Thank God for Delph O'Neal.
Because the rest of the guys were jogging up the field after.
Struggled mightily this preseason and in that game.
That's a bigger concern than Richard
Seymour. Big time down on James Sanders, one of my favorite players on the team. Big time down on him.
Okay, well, Brandon Merriweather will take his place.
Who, by the way, was in coverage on Devard Darling.
Well, It was a breakdown. It was definitely a breakdown.
But my boy James Sanders, I used to say, was one of the surest tacklers on the team. Now he's taking bad angles. He's getting run over in the preseason when I think he's going to make a tackle. I've been disappointed in his play of late.
Okay.
And we kind of count on those safeties. You know, we also talked all offseason long, well, cornerback play is a question, but at least you can lean on the safeties. And I also was told by someone who watched the game from the ESPN war room at ESPN that all the ex-players and coaches were saying how poorly Rodney Harrison played. I didn't really see that. I thought he was Rodney Harrison, but
I think he led the team in tackles, but you know,
right.
You never want your safety to lead the team.
Well, I don't
in
even
tackles.
Care about the numbers, but if football, and I don't know who these specific guys are, but if football guys are watching and it's jumping off TV coverage to them that Rodney Harrison is not playing well, now I have more concerns about the secondary because if I can't count on the safeties.
Well, ESPN, they don't like us. They're going to say anything to put us down.
Of course, Harrison is terrible at ESPN.
They're going to say anything to put him down when no microphones are on. No one's going to hear it.
Well, it gets out. You know how these things, it's more effective if it leaks out, you know, because then
I love
that's
you,
the way
Brett.
It works.
You're the best.
Politics and sports, it works that way.
Were you
right.
Surprised about all the ESPN and NFL Network guys yesterday that were predicting the Patriots to be fine in a solid playoff contender?
I actually didn't
the
hear that. What you're saying?
I shouldn't say them.
Of course not.
I didn't hear that.
Well,
I heard one guy say 4-12.
I didn't even watch the game.
Merrill Hodge, who I think we would all agree is a pretty noted Patriot hater,
yes.
Right? Said that he thinks there's too much talent on the team for them to go south. They can that he has a lot of respect for Maroney and Morris.
Well, you
and,
know what that is.
And that stable of running backs. He thinks that they're gonna be fine.
What's that, Fred?
The set Trent Belichick.
Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer says that this team is not only going to make the playoffs, but they will be a very tough out for someone in the playoffs, and he thinks they will win a playoff game.
And so, he knows a little something about a team winning in spite of its quarterback.
Mike Ditka says that everything that Belichick said yesterday at his press conference was exactly right. He said people might not always like the way he says it, but what he said was accurate, and the team will find a way to get by, and they have too much talent elsewhere. Steve Mariucci pretty much echoed those things, focused more on the defensive side of the ball. The only one guy that I heard that kind of wrote them off, and it was very much theatrical and tongue-in-cheek was Deion Sanders, who said, stick a fork in them, they're done.
And then said, and then he went I'll on, take the Patriots over the Jets.
He went on to
Jets.
Pick the Patriots to beat the Jets on Sunday. But it was
clown city.
Yeah, it was kind of.
But it was good.
We had the afternoon off yesterday. I kind of sat down and watched those shows because I wanted to see the reaction because I knew what we would do here, and we've already done it. You know, the world's against us. Everybody's out to get us. And I watched a lot of these guys yesterday, and I was really, really surprised. I actually wrote some of the comments down in my notebook just so I would remember who said what. I was very pleasantly surprised the amount of respect the rest of the Patriots team and coaching staff got. Nationally. That was nationally, too.
Right.
You know, we're no one's favorite nationally, and I thought yesterday we got a lot of respect.
I think that, you know, at a time like that, I don't think any of them are going to pile on. But let me tell you, these fans, you go to Pro Football Talk, I mean, some of the stuff that's out there is not from Patriots fans, but from other fans is pretty nasty.
It's anonymous
well,
people behind
stuff
a keyboard
coming out of New York,
hiding.
Too, in the media. Like I was telling Mike,
Steve
the Post
Serby
said,
today.
Yahoo! Exclamation point, Brady Hurt.
Steve Serby
oh, is
says
that right?
They
payback.
Used the Yahoo
oh, I get
report,
right.
So they put Yahoo! Exclamation point, colon, right. Brady, torn ACL.
Go ahead and read Steve Serby today. It's a rip
oh, yeah.
job.
The bully,
hey,
what is
I,
it, the
I
bully
have,
ball is gone for a while. This is payback's a bitch.
I have no problem with like a fan or a team saying, oh, you know, he's down. This is an opportunity
right. There's
for
a difference
us.
Between rooting for someone to get hurt before
right.
they're hurt and then after the
right.
fact some, being somewhat encouraged or
right.
excited.
Right.
Not that they're saying, I'm glad he's hurt, but,
no.
I mean, let's face it.
This is our
This
chance.
Just lifted the spirits
right.
of 10, 12, 15 organizations that didn't think they had any
right.
prayer of doing
right.
anything. Now, any one of those teams now is in contention.
And every one of those teams that whose spirits were lifted, they got another thing coming.
Because the guy raping no longer has a dimple. I didn't know what I meant, but you opened with it.
Our fans knew what I was talking about.
But the Jets are at the front of that line, by the way.
Absolutely.
Of teams
yeah.
that didn't have a chance and now have a legitimate
right.
chance.
So think they have one.
The,
yeah.
The Jets in Buffalo right now are every bit in contention for
right.
that division title as anybody. And that wasn't true 48 hours ago.
True that.
Yep.
And the Jets have the first chance.
Yep. So... It's a game. Game's
but
on.
Even I mean, even if it doesn't go well for them, I mean, I think it's a big game for the Jets because it's at home. Then you know they probably need to win it. It's a more important game, I think, for the Jets than the Patriots.
Yes.
But even if they lose, there's still a long way to go,
right.
and they're not out of it. Whereas if they lost that game with Brady, now they're already a game back. They lost the home game. They're done. Their division title hopes would have been over if Brady went into the Meadowlands on Sunday and beat them. They won't be over with Castle. Because you can't just pencil in the Patriots to win all of those games now the way you would have if Brady was quarterbacking. What is your theory, 6-6? They have 6 wins and 6 losses. Whatever happens to the other four
will determine
the how
whether
the
they make the
goes.
Playoffs, whether they end up 6-10 and have a high drive.
So there's no way they will lose in 6 games with Brady a quarterback for 6 games.
No.
No
right.
way.
Now, how do you feel about the division, Fred? Because you
were
already
he's
concerned.
Already told he had concerns before Brady got hurt. Now he no longer has
this
any.
Dynamic is strange to me.
I had no concerns before Brady got hurt.
You said I
the
think
division.
The Bills could beat him. I think the Jets could beat him.
No,
that's when you
no.
were filling out your 12-4.
I never, ever said that the Patriots weren't a lock for the AFC East. Ever.
No, you already
no, he's
thought
right.
the Bills
he never
and
said
Jets
that.
Could
he said they could
him.
Win a game.
I
not
said they
beat
could
them
win
over
a game.
The long run, not
Big
over
deal.
The course of the season.
Big deal.
Now they both could win a game, and all of a sudden it gets tight.
Well, now it's a whole new ballgame.
Well, and looking at the rest of the league, and obviously – rightly so, we're focusing on the Brady situation. But anything, I mean, Buffalo's performance was pretty
impressive.
Pretty encouraging
Denver
for
was
them.
Impressive.
I thought that, you know, I said to Andy today, Pittsburgh. Denver's a team that I didn't think really had much of a shot of beating the Patriots. In a combination of the obvious here, but what I saw last night, Jay Cutler looked really good. I know Oakland's not a very good team, but still, it was on the road, it was a Monday night. And they do have some personnel, especially secondary guys, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce
Hall.
then you got D'Angelo Hall on the other side with Michael Huff. I mean, they have some personnel in the secondary. He riddled them last night. You know, he had 300 yards passing on about, 24 attempts or something like that?
He was, I think.
And he had a couple of drops, too, Fred.
You
know, that Scheffler guy dropped an easy touchdown pass that they had to settle for a field goal. I thought he was pretty impressive. You know who else I liked, Andy? Didn't get a whole lot of carries, but your boy McFadden looked pretty good.
Yeah, I know.
Pittsburgh looked good. doing it all on the ground. I think Roethlisberger only had like 14 passes.
But that's how
they, when but that's how they do it.
That's how they always do it. Yeah. Right. And the only thing is, he did complete 13
Mendon,
of
right.
all.
No, he was 13 but that's of 14.
Their MO is Roethlisberger goes 12 of 14 in the first half and then only throws 17 passes
was,
for the game.
He was 13 for 14 with two touchdowns.
That's
Pittsburgh
when they're
football.
At, that's what yep. they were doing his rookie year. That's they want
to
win that way.
To me, the encouraging thing for the Steelers had nothing really to do with offense, because I think they're going to be pretty good offensively. I think defensively they completely shut down the Texans. And I think that was encouraging for them.
Yep.
Because I don't think they're that good defensively, especially in the second.
I think they're the best team in the AFC right now.
Well, they may be.
And I'm
now.
Not just going to jump on, well, the Colts
well,
lost and
I'll
the Chargers
tell you one
lost
thing.
And all
I,
that.
See, I think that game gets replayed 15 times, the Chargers game. And Fred and I watched a good chunk of that game. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are going to win that game by 10-plus points.
More.
That was kind of a confluence of a couple of really bad breaks they got that game. And they ended up, you know, putting themselves in a spot where – you know, they had to stop the last drive and, you know, give Jake DeLone credit. That was a great drive.
Yeah, they're not done. I think Rivers
I'd be a
looks
lot more,
really good.
I'm a lot more concerned about if I'm, you know, Joe Fan. I'd be more concerned about the Colts than I would be about the Chargers. Mm-hmm. The Colts, I think, have a problem.
That was a weird game.
That was also a weird game.
They could never get off the, you know, Manning looked okay, but they could just
but
never
line,
get anything going.
The line was terrible, and that's not going to improve
Saturday,
because Saturday's not there, and they were missing another starter in that game. They were missing two starters, and they had a hard time. That was also weird, though, with the Marvin Harrison fumble over the middle.
Right.
That turned the whole game around. They were down, what, 15-6 at the half. And then they scored to make it 15-13. Then they got the ball back, and they were driving. He fumbles. They pick it up, run it back, and all of a sudden they're down 9 again.
Right.
Game over.
And let's not disregard the Bears.
Chicago's
like I said,
pretty good defense.
When they're good, when they're on defense, they make teams look like that.
And usually early in the year, they're always on because I don't think they have any.
Gets hurt.
They don't have any depth, that team.
Right.
Because Mike, well, you know, is Mike Brown even there anymore? Probably not. But, he gets hurt every year. One of the defensive linemen will get hurt like always happens. And before you know it, they're very thin. Urlacher's always dealing with some sort of physical issues, but they look great. They look great running to the football.
I mean, if there was a game for the Colts to win at home, opening the new field, fans are going crazy, you would think that would be it.
And that was a huge surprise.
And they lose it. If I'm a Colt fan, I'm like, what's going on?
And now they have to go to Minnesota next week, and Minnesota lost. That could be a tough game
for them. Patriots lose Brady the same weekend, and you want to come out and really stamp yourself as, all right, we're the team to beat in the AFC. This,
what they want to do,
an egg.
Right.
To me, if you were San Diego and Indy, you want to sit there and say, okay, I want to establish myself right away. I want to get that one game lead on the Patriots as soon as I can for those seeds. Because those are the two teams that I think probably feel like they could fight the Patriots at full strength for 1-2. So you want to get that lead right away. Brady's out. Now they're both behind by a game. Even Brady hasn't played.
And somebody said that to me yesterday on a radio thing I did. Like, you know, you look at the top of the AFC power rankings and you got the Patriots win but lose Brady and the other teams lose. And I go, yeah, but I think the Patriots would rather be 0-1 and have Tom Brady playing next week than 1-0 and not have Tom Brady. I think they'd swap places with Phillip Rivers and the Chargers and Peyton Manning and the Colts.
All right. Let's see. It's 12:54. We need to take a break. We'll be right back.
It took forever for Paul to figure out the PFW radio schedule, but the coach helped him out.
Make Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then with every short week's a long week, with every long week's a short week.
Patriots.com radio. Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas Tree Shops, Off-Broadway Shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar, a four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and the long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Rams! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
And now, a blog reading from Dan Twogender. Twogender.
August 1st, 2008. Hi from Ohio. I'm on the bus with colleague Kyle Passati, heading to the Canton Civic Center, where tonight, former Patriots linebacker and soon-to-be Pro Football Hall of Famer Andre Tippett will receive his beige blazer. Tip and the other five inductees this year will be the guests of honor at tonight's dinner reception. Once we're there, I'll post more details about the event and how good old 56 reacts to getting his new threads.
For other blogs on your favorite team, log on to Patriots.com. They're on there somewhere.
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Want to thank Ethan from Delaware.
Woohoo!
For
the brownies were a nice touch.
For lunch today, he says, no real questions. Really mostly fudge. Figured you guys would need some cheering up like the rest of Patriots Nation, other than Andy, who was likely all giddy about predicting Brady getting hurt after not showing up in the offseason.
I never a single time predicted he'd get hurt.
Hopefully we can all take a few days to get it out of our systems, then rally around Castle or whomever else gets behind center this season. On that, I guess I do have a football question. If Castle struggles, yes, if, so stop laughing, Andy, do you think the Patriots should put in O'Connell or keep the rookie sheltered and bring in a street free agent quarterback? What do you think?
Depends on what the record is at the time.
Yeah. And depends where they are. If he struggles to the point where you like have to make a move right away, then I would try to get, you know, Gutierrez or someone else in. But if you know, he's kind of uneven for a few games and you win, you know, like I said, if you're like 2-5, 2-6, might as well just give O'Connell some experience.
You got to let the situation in the field dictate. It's like in Iraq.
See how he's on a play.
You got to let, you know, the
didn't
situation.
He already show us that he's probably not going to go out there and trip over his own feet like 10 straight times?
Right.
I mean, he did enough on Sunday to say he knows the offense, he can call a play in the huddle, he generally will have his personnel in the right place, and
it'll be
interesting. I think he'll have his peaks and valleys, though.
Right, no question, but peaks and valleys don't get you immediately sent to the sideline and kicked off the team.
C.J. Jones made the team.
Matthew Slater fumbled his first NFL kickoff attempt.
One of the funniest things that's happened in the history.
Blake Parenti 1, Andy Hart 0.
Where was C.J. Jones? Oh, yeah, watching that from a press box.
Wasn't fumbling.
Inactive.
Wasn't fumbling, was he?
He was probably fumbling his food.
He'll be in the lineup next week.
No, he won't.
Yes,
I don't know if you noticed. They're working out scrub receivers.
Yeah, well, guess what? After Ellis Hobbs' 51-yard return, Slater will not be back returning any more kicks anytime soon.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but if they do have to sign a quarterback, if they sign a backup, someone's got to go.
C.J. Jones.
I was very disappointed with Matthew Slater.
I've said it before and will continue to say it
while laughing.
He's been a disappointment for a
while. I hope he gets another
month.
Chance because he – was taken right out of there after that, right?
Yeah, and rightfully so.
Right.
They finally figured out what I've been saying for a month.
You know, we're all, you know.
So now we're saying that Slater and C.J. Jones are twins. They can't hold on to the football. Wow, silence from the Parenti front.
No one's even saying that.
So do you have anything to say?
All I have to say is C.J. Jones had a better preseason. Matthew Slater did not. He was out there. He fumbled, as was expected. So now Matthew Slater has fumbled half as many times
as
C.J. Jones.
It wasn't expected.
So now they're on the same level.
Matthew Slater shtick was he trips on the 18. He never got one past the 21. You never mentioned fumbling.
Yeah, now he's added a new element to his game, fumbling. Congratulations. There's your guy.
It wasn't about the 18 that he fumbled.
He was learning from C.J.
Jones.
Yeah,
he must have saw the 28 from miles away and had his eye on that instead of the ball.
You know, we're getting all these emails about Brady and Castle and how depressed everybody is. Could be worse. It could be in Tennessee.
Yes.
You know, with Vince Young and Jeff Fisher and
done with
the
him.
Police are meeting at, did you see that today?
What happened?
Like 12:30 a.m., Jeff Fisher and police met because they could not locate Vince Young. They didn't know anything about his whereabouts.
And you know he wouldn't go back on the field, right, during the game?
Well, they were booing him and stuff.
Yeah,
and
he threw his helmet. The offense went back out, and he stayed sitting on the bench with a towel over, and Fisher had to come over. I have so far cut ties with Vince Young. Terrible.
Another one of your good picks. Unbelievable.
No, I mean, 2 years ago he wanted to retire, and now he doesn't want to go out and finish the game with his team because a few fans booed at him. Well, I thought this was supposed to be Mr. Team Leader, and I'm a winner. You're
I thought you
were
supposed to be Mr. Personnel Guy.
He can play.
Everybody you pick sticks.
Fred, I don't have the opportunity to sit down and do the psychological.
Psychological? Can't even say it.
That's true. I just see talent on the field.
And?
He has talent, Fred. I mean, you can't deny that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to put him on
you can't
that
check.
Show on TV on NBC, the
America's
Gladiators.
Talent?
Yeah, put him on American
I
Gladiators.
I just didn't know you had to coddle him and massage his ego all the time.
There's no way to measure the guy's heart, especially when you don't get a chance to talk
Brady
to him.
Brady gets booed, and it drives him to do better. Young gets booed, and he throws his helmet and sulks.
Never really liked the kid, to be honest with you.
No, Uncle
I
Rico.
Never did either.
I was
glad I never bought that jersey when I was going to buy it.
I almost slipped for a second, but that's bull crap.
I'll give Fred we were giving Fred some crap because of the Washington Redskins, the Fredskins as we called them.
Right.
But you also said something about the Titans defense and how good you thought it was. And wow, I mean, you talk about a unit winning a game for a team. Sacked David Garrard 7 times, picked him off twice.
Yeah, but Albert Haynesworth reportedly didn't remember any of it.
Really? He got knocked out in the game? He sacked Garrard on the last play of the game.
He says he only remembers the last play.
Oh, wow.
He had a concussion.
That's not good. But I'll tell you, the other thing is Tennessee probably doesn't win the game if Kerry Collins doesn't come in.
Right.
He led their really only drive of the game.
So. I love Kerry Collins.
I think he's the ultimate backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Because if he plays any extended time, his flaws get exposed. But he can throw the ball.
Yep. Plus Q, Eddie Mack in there.
Let's see. Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia. Okay, so we've got this really bad news, but there's
what
a possibility
that
the season's not over yet. Matt Castle was efficient enough Sunday to help the team win, and maybe with a week to prepare for the Jets, he'll be a little better next Sunday. Whether or not he wins, it's important for him to improve. We still have a terrific offense to support him, and the defense didn't look so bad the other day. Here's the thing about Castle. He's never been in a position where the job was his. He was competing to be the number two guy for the last 8 years of his playing career behind Palmer, Leinart, and Brady. Maybe now that the pressure of losing his position is lighter, he could just focus on playing the game. If he was that bad, he would be gone by now and someone else would have come into the game yesterday. What do you think?
Well, he wasn't competing to have the number two job. He was competing for the number one job and ended up in the number two job when he lost the competition at USC.
Fred, can I ask your permission? I understand that we're trying to focus on looking ahead and what we can do.
Right.
Are we really honestly trying to sell the fact that Matt Castle today is under less pressure than he was last Saturday?
It's different. It's different.
Oh, pressure. Boy.
No, it is. I'm just trying to be honest.
And I know, Andy, you've been smirking at me for keeping my mouth shut in this show. That's why I haven't said a whole lot.
You're
going to
say the pressure's not greater?
No, I think that I don't know if it's greater, but it's definitely different. It's a different pressure than when you come out and every play is under a microscope to just be on the team. Then, okay, now you're the leader of the team. Let's see what you can do. It might be, for him, it might be more or might be the same. I don't know, but it's a different type of pressure.
But it's the same pressure because he still needs to complete passes to even be on the team, but the team is counting on him. a lot of weight is riding on his shoulders as the quarterback of a team.
It might be, but
expected to compete for a Super Bowl.
But I don't think they're going to expect him to come out and beat Tom Brady. Now, does that mean they're going to lessen the playbook? I don't think so. But I think that Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick know that this is a different guy there.
It's a different story, but it's Aaron Rodgers. He's filling the shoes of a Hall of Famer on a team that's talented enough to compete for a Super Bowl.
Well, I think you have a little bit higher expectation for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, maybe because he was a first-round pick and played in college. But I'm saying the scenario is the same. You're making your first career start. You're filling the shoes of a Hall of Fame legend. And you're supposed to compete at a championship level.
But, you know, what are the Patriots going to – what's their game plan going in? I mean, I doubt that they're going to throw it up 50 times. Okay.
Well, I doubt
if they
that
can help
Aaron Rodgers is going to throw it 50 times.
But what I'm just saying,
I think, in terms of Josh McDaniels for the play calling is like we saw, and Mike alluded to this earlier, in the fourth quarter, particularly after Ellis Hobbs' interception gave you the ball around midfield, you're up 14-10. I think that's a spot that McDaniels might, you know, with Brady, might say, you know what, here's where we end this game.
Right.
You know, let's take a couple of shots, let's open it up. Maybe on 1st and 10 we're throwing. Instead, it was run, 3rd and 8. Okay, Matt, see if you can get us a first down. And he did. And then it was run. Okay, Matt, see if you can get us a first down on 3rd down. And that time he didn't. They kicked the field goal to make it 17-10. I think Brady right there, they're in their regular offense, even though it's midway through the fourth quarter of a game they're leading, they're not worried about getting the pass picked off. They're worried about ending this game and getting a 2-score lead. That's where it's not necessarily the playbook changes. I think when they call plays is going to be different. They always relied on Brady to sort of make plays when they ran out the clock. They won't rely on Castle to do that.
Steve from Winchester writes, I'm reminded of the scene from the Apollo 13 movie where the NASA flight director says, this could be NASA's worst disaster. And flight director Gene Kranz replies, with all due respect, sir, I think this is going to be our finest hour. If Belichick can rally this team, pull them together, change the strategy a bit, and run this team into the playoffs, it would be something to remember. It would bookend the 2007 team. In some ways, it would make people forget about some of the controversy from the 07 season. They might take a few hits along the way, but this could be a very special season. It could be our finest hour.
Sorry.
I like it. Steve from Winchester. That's a good email.
I have a NASA comparison, but I won't make it.
I know where you're going with this. So
Crystal
McAuliffe?
No, further back than that.
Challenger?
Nope, further back than that. That was the same one.
Oh,
Aaron in Port Jervis, New York says, at 31 years old, I finally went to my first NFL game this weekend. Not only that, I got to go to a Pats game. Why?
That sucks.
So no more games for you.
How'd you get happy?
Hey,
after that one?
Wow.
A little bit of a tangent here, Fred.
I love tangents, especially
just
that.
reading some of the columns nationwide on some of the websites. I went to ESPN.com and I forget who wrote it, but the premise was that now we get to see how good a coach Belichick is. And I don't really agree with that. I think we've seen over the years how good he really is. And he has made so many adjustments over the years at other positions and other facets of the game to really prove how great a coach he is. Why now all of a sudden is this like the litmus test for Bill Belichick?
It's crazy.
And it's the same way the other way. If he goes out there and Matt Castle somehow puts together 10 or 11 wins, that's no indictment on Brady.
Right.
It's no indictment on Brady, but what it is again – I mean, the personnel that they put together, hey, they put together a pretty good team, you know, that can win without a top-flight quarterback.
It would bolster even more Belichick's legacy.
No, absolutely.
If he goes out and they
But I think Paul's right. It doesn't take anybody away from
Tom
Brady.
No.
That's the way it's going to be set up a little bit. I read some of that this morning, is that if they have a bad season, then suddenly it's, you know, Brady made Belichick. And if they have a great season, it's Belichick made Brady. And,
that's crazy.
And the other one, whatever the corresponding one, would have been proven to be overrated. I think they're probably both proven already to be
Well, what do you think about
pretty good at what they do.
What do you think about Mike Reese's article today about, if anything, this is will answer the question about the strategy they had about the backup quarterback?
I think that's dead on.
Yeah.
I think he presented the facts as they are.
Yeah. I didn't read it.
Well, he basically wrote they had an opportunity to do A, B, and C in the backup quarterback situation in the offseason. He rattled off some names, like Cleo Lemon was one of them, and Todd Collins was another, and what they made and stuff. And they chose to go with the $500,000 Matt Castle. And we'll find out if that's right. He didn't say if it was right or wrong. He just said it's going to – basically, it was it's a referendum on Belichick's decision on the backup quarterback.
Right.
The Todd Collins one I think is interesting. Like Cleo Lemon, I don't really think much of him.
Well, he got the reason he put him up there was like 3 years, 8-point-something million he got to sign in Jacksonville.
Ridiculous.
I don't think very much of him.
No, not no. 3 points.
I don't know
not
why.
8 million either.
And I know. I know, and I've been accused on this show, and I'm fine with it. I don't know why so many of these journeyman kind of jag backup quarterbacks are considered to be this monster upgrade over Matt Castle. And I know I think more of Castle than probably anybody in this room, but I just don't see where Chris Sims comes in here and we're suddenly, you know, all set, nothing to worry about.
He stinks.
I'm on your side on that one, 100%.
You know, Todd Collins one is interesting.
Todd Collins to me, I mean, he had a nice little run last year. I think that he...
I mean, none of these guys are going to replace Tom Brady.
Well, that's the point.
We know that
none
already, but
no.
That's the point. You
nobody.
End up, no say Matt Castle that. Is like 27% of what Tom Brady is. Is Todd Collins 34% of
Kerry,
what Tom
Kerry
Brady
Collins to me would have been a nice, you know, a nice option. He wasn't available, but, you know, I think that he would be an upgrade. You know, but a lot of the other names that are thrown out there, Billy Volek and I just, Chris Sims.
But none of these guys
Dante
are going to do what Brady
Byron
did.
Byron Leftwich.
I mean,
right. Pennington would have been okay. Oh, I would have taken
Pennington. If they had brought Pennington
then,
in.
But even then, it's a different guy.
I'd have taken Pennington.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's about it.
I think he'd be a.
That's really about it.
I mean, the only guy that would be upset with that is Randy Moss because he wouldn't be able to reach him.
That's true.
Let's see.
Come back for it. He did on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul from London says, "I still have faith. We can do it with teamwork." The Jets want to laugh at Brady. Well, we'll kick Favre's false teeth down his throat. Someone make sure that Belichick has the paper clipping from the New York Post up on the wall to fire up the troops. Let's see some dirty Rodney tackles.
Oh, that's nice. Let's
now we're looking to hurt plays. Other people.
I was gonna say, I don't think you have to worry about that. You'll get those.
Khalib in Tampa wants to know, should I hit the panic button yet?
No.
Fred says no.
What do you say, Paul?
I say no. I'm Andy.
Paul.
Why don't you answer it? Come on, answer it, Paul.
I choose not to run.
His silence speaks.
Panic button?
Josh was saying that during Belichick's press conference on Sunday night that Eric got smacked down. Nice. Hey, Eric, take any questions you have about the rules of the league in the head of officials. Oh, no, this was Monday. This was yesterday.
He got what happened?
Yeah. I didn't know that he asked that question. Somebody,
what was the question?
I couldn't hear the question. I was watching it on TV. He asked something
about... I watched it on TV, too, but I don't remember that.
Do you think that they'll look at the rules or something like that based on Sunday or something like that, and Belichick just, you know, gave him, I don't make the rules.
Not trying to conquer the world?
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing?
Maybe if you keep asking, he'll change his answer. What a riot.
Now, was it a better or worse question than did
you
want to
eat
my third
salad?
Down was a problem? I think the stats
I actually
that
think that's a good question.
What?
Do you think the league would look at that rule and how it's interpreted?
Well, what are they going to do now? I mean, okay, I said this the other day. Let's just go to it. The guy, quarterback, goes out there with a little red light on his head, and he has a pass clock. And when the clock goes off,
the
play ends. You can't come anywhere near him.
Don't misunderstand
me. You can't hit him. He can't run.
Don't misunderstand me. I think it's ridiculous. First of all,
of the league.
To me, there's a difference between the whole hitting below the waist thing for a quarterback. I was always led to believe that it's kind of after he's thrown the ball. I mean, if you're going to sack the quarterback, if the ball's in the quarterback's hands and you're making contact with him, aren't you required to tackle him any way you can? I don't think that's a penalty.
Well, see, I always thought
it was. I think it has to go with when it's in his hands, too, now.
Right. So the ball was in his hands. So to me, that's not a penalty.
But I always thought that it was to keep a guy from, like, coming off the edge. Like Rodney Harrison's blitzing.
And diving.
And diving, launching himself at a knee to take it out.
Right.
And I think that's where they draw the distinction.
I just think that gets back to my whole thing. That's unnecessary roughness. Throw the penalty on the 5 times a year it might happen, 2 times a year, whatever. We don't need all these... Above the knee, below the knee, and if you think it's unnecessary, do it.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody could. Forget it.
No,
I was going to say I don't think anybody could argue that was unnecessary what he did. But Fred's on the show.
I don't think he should have been penalized or fined, and I don't think Wilfork should have been fined.
Okay, I agree with both those.
Rob in Warrenton, Virginia. We had embraced the hate in 08, but now everybody is feeling so bad for us now that Brady is out. Okay, not really, people. People hate Brady and the Pats, and it would be easy to play the Rodney Harrison no respect card. So I'm going with, and this is the new slogan, don't hassle the castle.
Okay. Cute.
P.S. I'm the one who's painting the basement Patriot colors, and no, I don't live with my mother like Andy said.
I don't even remember saying that.
But he is going to send pictures once he's done.
Looking forward to that.
And if I see a bed in that basement, I'm sticking with you live in the basement.
Glenn from Fall River says, I have a big problem with New York Post front page on Brady injury title. Yahoo, Brady out for the season. That's the one you were talking about. What are your opinions on that? And secondly, do you think the Boston media would do such a heartless thing if Favre or Manning was the one injured?
I think the Herald would. And I think they should. It's how they sell papers.
It's a tabloid.
I don't like it.
I don't think
one of the Boston papers would do it, and I don't like it.
The Herald would.
I like it. I like it, and I think they should do it. Yep.
Oh, come on.
I don't like it, but I think they would do it.
I don't. If he had died, then I don't think it's okay. But he tore an ACL. It happens every minute in this country to somebody somewhere.
And I also do think it was a play on. The Yahoo.
They wouldn't have written story. CBS colon Brady out. Right. But that's not funny. That's an
exclamation
words.
My point is if Peter
but
King,
you know, assistant editor here doesn't even know the difference between a colon and an exclamation point.
No, numbnut. You have to have the colon
mind
too.
His mind is always on his own colon.
You have
that's
to have the
problem.
Colon too because it's report colon. But the exclamation point is not part of the Yahoo. Okay. It's part of their logo.
Right.
It's Yahoo. That's
their
logo.
Lesson. All right. Alden in Boston.
I don't think they would have written. Had Peter King been the only one to say that he tore his ACL and they were doing Peter King's report, I don't think they would have written Yahoo.
No.
Right, because it's not funny if
it's
says
Michael Silver's report.
King.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, Michael Silver wrote it.
They did it because it's funny.
It's really not. Yahoo.
I think it's kind of funny. From a New York perspective?
Well, Yahoo! they're in for a treat this Sunday. They are in for a treat this Sunday.
It's not a life-threatening
injury.
I think
the whole story about Jets fans at the ESPN zone cheering, first of all, you're taking like six or seven people. You don't even know if they're all from New York anyway. Right. Who cares?
And my guess is they were drunk.
It's not an indictment of the entire New York City fan
base.
I'm a New York sports fan. I don't like that personally.
I've heard Fred cheer.
I don't like it either.
Never.
Yes, you have.
Alden in Boston.
Many times.
I've actually heard you before them play.
Break his leg.
Asked for him to hurt him. Bill Polian, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, he's fair game.
Just so you know, you and Bill Polian are the same person. The exact same person.
That was the only one
he's
I
got
ever
a Colt logo,
with.
You got a Patriots. Same person. Well, except he builds championship football teams. And
you build.
You hired us.
mediocre newspapers.
Mediocre radio talent. Alden in Boston. Yes, it sucks, but there is no need to think about it more. It is what it is. Never have these words held so much meaning as they do now. It's time to move forward. It's time to talk about the defense, to talk about the running game, and talk about Matt Castle or anyone else who might have a future under center for the Patriots. I don't know what is going to happen. Can the defense stiffen up? Can the running game put the load on their shoulders? Can Castle be at least a game manager at QB? I'm excited to find out, even though I recognize it will take some rather impressive developments to make us a serious contender this year. If last year's mantra was to defend Belichick and the team's accomplishments in the wake of Spygate, then this year's is to prove that the talent on this team is good enough to pick up the slack in the aftermath of such a devastating loss. Is the division locked up? No. Are the playoffs a certainty? Not at this point. But I think there is still a chance for 10-6 in playoffs. We are just regular old football fans again, watching each and every week, hoping our team can grind out a W. It's kind of refreshing. And hopefully it will also help calm down the raging winds of hatred as our status as an elite and feared team comes into question.
See, that's what I'm talking about, the refreshing thing.
Yeah.
Don't give me that. It's not refreshing.
I'm okay with the word interesting, but refreshing, it's not refreshing.
Right, it's just the next step from interesting. People will take it interesting and they're upgrading to refreshing.
Is it
going to
be
either.
Refreshing when your team stinks and you're thinking about the number one overall pick again?
Then
no.
It's not refreshing anymore.
I have a question along the lines of that email, the passing game and the defense. Offensively. Do you become a more run-based team because, you know, in theory, you got a quarterback who's inexperienced, you don't want him dropping back as often, or do you have to maintain the same offense and say, the strength of our team is Randy Moss and Wes Welker in the passing game?
I think you have to do that.
I kind of agree with you, Fred, because I'm not sold on Lawrence Maroney.
Paul, what do you
say?
You
disagree. Well,
I think they're going to run the ball. But do you think
than you would have with Brady.
I think that's the tack they're going to take. It seemed like it's Sunday.
Because you're going to need to run the ball now to get Moss and Welker open.
I just think Brady's
to run.
I mean,
aren't they gonna be daring Castle to pass the ball?
Yes.
Yeah.
So do it. I mean, they're gonna be putting eight in the box. Yes. No.
In theory.
I mean, I'm just asking.
In theory,
I would think that every team would have eight men in the box. Yes.
And you got Welker, and you got
Moss.
You know, Dave Thomas throw
but
in.
But you don't
there.
Have Tom Brady.
I know, but I'm not talking about, you know, rifling the ball downfield. I'm talking about high percentage passing.
There's a reason they're going to dare him to throw.
Right, because he can't prove that he does. You know, so let's see if he can. I mean, you got to take advantage of what the defense is giving you. Yes or no?
Yes, to some degree, yes. But my question isn't as much about that. I'm just wondering, are they good enough offensive line and running backs to run the ball?
That's a big question.
They've got five of them. Somebody else.
I think the running backs can do it. I'm not sure about the offensive line at this point.
That's where my question lies. Are they an offensive line built for passing?
They have not been a running team for so long. You know, not sure if you can just flip that switch.
And I don't know if Dan Copen is like a bruising center.
Right, he's not a big guy.
I think Mankins would be happy to just line up and run the ball 45 times. But I'm not sure Light and Billy Yates.
I wish Neal was in there. He's not.
Certainly.
You know?
Casher's not a run-blocking right tackle. So I don't know if they're set up to just sort of change their identity here.
Yeah. Paul thinks they have to.
Yeah, well, I think if they're going to win games, yeah. Because I think if you try to play similar to what you play now, you're going to make mistakes.
Well, similar. But what about more of the short, high percentage, using the pass sort of as a run? Well,
isn't that what this O-line is built for? The screen game?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's something that they practice a lot.
I think you need to stay
in training camp.
You know, we kind of thought the offense was going to do that with Brady, that they were going to run more screens.
I mean, that's different.
That's different than what you're talking about, though, the passing plays. That is part of their running game.
That's running.
I think they kind of have to keep the offense as it was.
Welker and Moss. I think if you try to throw as often to those two guys as you do now, you're going to make mistakes.
Right. Okay.
Well, I don't think there's any question you're going to make mistakes, but I think you also need to do that to win some games. Because that's how
those mistakes
built,
will lose you games.
I think
we've already decided they were going to win six and lose six.
But you want to win
more than six.
You weren't going to lose those six with Brady. You are now.
I thought they clearly threw less Sunday.
Well, that's what I just said. It looks like they're going to try to run the ball more.
And I think that's.
And I think when
you
play a team not named Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons, you're in trouble.
Let's see. Colin from Connecticut. With Tom Brady out and Fred Kirsch on life support, do you think that the Patriots can be able to rally around Matt Castle, or is it possible that if Castle struggles, that Belichick will bring in Kevin O'Connell? I think that if the Patriots rally around Matt like they did in the game this week, that they can go 11-5 or 12-4. Let's not forget Tom Brady is the team, but the team has survived before.
They get to play the Chiefs
Tom Brady.
Seven times.
Isn't that the underlying point?
I don't
Patriots, what was the quote I had in my analysis? We got to play Patriots football? Oh, you never played Patriots football without Tom Brady.
Right.
Let's see. Alex says, how can a crew have such disparity of talent like the one of Jaws and Kornheiser? The only thing that comes close is when Perillo and Kurz share the booth.
Oh.
How will the Patriots...
Who's he knocking?
I was going to say, who's who in that scenario?
How will the Patriots offense adapt to this new situation, both formations-wise and calling?
Paulie, why are you so subdued today? Come on, Paulie.
He's afraid to say something that will get him in trouble.
I'm exercising judgment.
Just cheer up. Have some fun. There's a brownie on me right there.
I just can't share the enthusiasm that everybody else seems to be able to do in whipping ourselves up into an 11-5 frenzy.
Who said 11-5?
That last
I believe in my scenario, the best case scenario is 10-6.
Actually, that guy said 11-5 or 12-4.
Well, that's probably the same guy who thought they were 10-6 with Brady 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, now they're 11-5 at Castle.
Well, they gained a win under this scenario.
Well, John,
I don't have a lot of zip.
John at Palm Bay's on the phone, and he'll quell the enthusiasm. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey,
good. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, I got a quick question. I want to hear your thoughts on this. Just to say, like, you guys are right, and the first four or five games, Castle comes in and throws a lot of quick passes for 250 yards and does a decent job. I know this is his last year of contract. Do you think it would be wise for us to sign him and maybe get a draft pick from him if he does good?
So you're basically saying he does a good job this year and you have to make a decision. Sure.
I think if he does really well, then he's going to hit the free agent market and cash in.
Well, it depends how well, yeah.
I mean, this is his time, so if you were him, would you, and the Patriots said, let's do a deal now, would you do it?
I think that's John's question. He's saying 6 weeks into the season.
And I would say no way if I'm Castle.
Right.
Not if you're in.
That's my point.
Yeah, if you're looking to start and make some money, then no.
Yeah, I understand John's question.
Now's his
time. It's a good
one.
It's a good question. Yeah. If I'm Castle and I'm showing any signs of success, no way.
Right.
I'll wait it out to the end of the
but
year. They're going
to
go back to Brady.
You go to him and say, hey, slide this over there. You want to sign that? It says 4 years at a veteran minimum. You want it?
I'm the Patriots, though, I've already drafted O'Connell. He's my future backup. If Castle wants to explore other options at the end of the year, see you later.
Right.
All right. Does that answer your question, John?
Yeah, that was good, and I think they'll go about 10-6.
Okay.
All right, John, 10-6.
That sounds to me like the consensus, 10-6.
So everybody in my scenario has him winning the four games he needs to win to make it a playoff season.
Now I think I might know why Paul's so down in the dumps. Drew Bledsoe hasn't gotten a call to return.
You think Drew is one of the guys who called?
No.
I don't either. I think Dante Culpepper was.
If there was any,
I think he's got a lot of those high school videos that he talked about.
I was just kidding.
If there was any,
you want to take that, Fred?
Contact with Drew, people are calling him because he said unequivocally he's not coming back.
Well, who do you think called? Sims, I'm sure. You think Sims' dad called
for himself?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, remember the time Belichick talked about how he used to get tapes and videos from people wanting for tryouts, all that stuff? Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
He's probably getting a lot of those now.
I would think.
Uncle Rico?
Michael Bishop.
Throwing the ball over those mountains?
People from the Woonsocket Rockets of the New England Amateur Football League, whatever it's called.
I thought Woonsocket Rocket was something you did with your girlfriends.
Oh.
All right.
Speaking of which.
At the door.
Hey, this is Vince Wilfork. Now it's time for... What? I ain't doing this.
I would have preferred he said my name before he
cut
out.
He was all excited.
Gary, good timing. Obviously, I just made up one. That's the Woonsocket Rocket, if anyone would like to add it to the Urban Dictionary. But today's official Urban Dictionary word of the day is pressure check. That's pressure check. And it has nothing to do with what Matt Cassel's going through right now.
No, because he's not under any pressure.
It is Tuesday, and it's his off day, so maybe he's doing a pressure check somewhere with some girl.
Okay.
Hopefully his wife.
I swear, by the way, we've had this one before that's with a
fantastic.
Different name. And
that's
the same
a great move. I am trying this tonight.
What's her name, Michaela?
Oh, come on.
Oh, hey.
No, there's no need to do that.
Oh,
Has she jumped into the rotation?
Now you're not just dating her. She's kind of like a regular and she's off limits.
We definitely had this with another word, by the way.
By the way.
I thought so.
Yeah. By the way, just not to get off football. I got myself.
We're talking about pressure checks and Woonsocket Rockets.
I got myself a juicer. Okay. Oh, now this isn't a blender. This is strictly, you know, where you can cram the whole fruit in there and it'll make juice out of it. Let me tell you.
He makes three glasses of juice before this is in a cupboard with dust on it.
Listen, you can lose weight just by operating this thing. I mean, there's more work involved between making the juice and cleaning up afterwards.
Why don't you go get a thing of juice out of Stop and Shop?
No, but this is real good. I mean, this is fresh right from
What's
the
this
fruit.
Called? It's what fish. Infomercial
did you get? It's the Jack LaLanne Power Juicer.
It's the Magic Bullet.
No, it's not the magic bullet. It's not the magic bullet. That's a piece of crap.
Is it really?
Oh yeah.
Fred knows infomercials.
No, this. I mean, it's a good device. It's well made.
How much did it cost?
$100.
That's not too bad for a juicer.
I got it on sale at the Rentham outlets.
Just give me the $100, and I'll hide in your cupboard somewhere and collect dust.
So last night I made half a cantaloupe, an orange, two apples. And a carrot. And it was pretty good. But the mess it makes, that you have to clean the thing
trouble
after
is,
the juice.
You use that to wash down your pizza.
No, I drank it this morning. It was a good energy boost. It was nice. It's good.
But can you give us the daily update? Because I want to know the specific day you stopped using it.
Okay.
I have my money on Thursday.
I also did one. I stored. I did another one after apples, a carrot, and ginger. A little slice of ginger. Oh, it's very good.
Is it kind of like an apple pie?
It's refreshing. Yeah. Anyway, back to the emails. Let's see. There is no pressure on the Pats to break records or live up to last year's stats now that Brady is gone, but they still have talent to win games. Not saying they're to give up hope or anything, but this is a very unique year to evaluate the coaching staff and players and really see who has the heart to keep pushing. Those who don't do their jobs will get replaced in the next draft, which should be very interesting. And hey, that Ray guy from USC should be on the top of their list.
Yeah, he'll be on the top of a lot of lists, which is why he'll get picked in the top 10.
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, I see what you did there, Paul Perillo, now projecting the Patriots to pick in the top 10.
I did nothing of the sort.
Side note, we all said, I think, that Junior Seau would be a Patriot this year. Is Junior Seau still a Patriot this year?
I don't think
so. Or does he go?
Yeah, right.
Winning, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I kind of agree that he just says it's not the sure thing that I thought it was the last 2 years. I'm not.
I mean, I was kind of leaning to the fact that it wasn't going to happen anyway at this point.
I still thought it was going to
happen. That the season has already started and everything. But
since we're talking football, can I bring up what I brought up to you in the press box, Paul? I know you're trying to avoid certain topics, but this is a topic football related right in the center of the defense. Gerard Mayo and Teddy Bruschi were on the field, and they were both in the top 3 in tackles, correct?
Remember, I pointed this out to you.
Oh,
you
yeah,
really
yes.
Don't listen when I talk.
No,
to you.
At halftime,
that hurts. That hurts
no,
right here.
I'll repeat your words verbatim. At halftime, you told me that the difference was that I believe Brewski had one tackle, seven assists, and Mayo had seven tackles and no assists, or something like that.
Did you hear that? I mean, Fred mm-hmm. didn't hear that.
Can you listen again?
No, someone's accusing me of plagiarizing Peter King. I'm just reading, this. But what was that?
We were discussing the linebackers. Teddy Bruschi was second on the team in tackles.
Mayo.
Gerard Mayo was third. And I don't know the exact numbers how they finished, but basically the way it finished out is they both had similar. It was like seven tackles for Bruschi, six for Mayo. Bruschi's seven were one solo and six assists. Mayo's six were six solos. And I think that tells of the difference. One guy's getting there,
right.
He's making the play.
Right.
The other guy is
cleaning
he's
up.
Around the ball. He's cleaning
he's
up.
Behind.
He's part of the play.
Right. Diving on the pile.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's diving on to Rodney Harrison, who dove on the pile.
Brent from Illinois is saying that I pulled a Borges by plagiarizing Peter King.
I believe
How
it.
Dumb is
well,
Peter King?
Can't because I haven't read him yet. But anyway, he says in Peter King's 10 things he thinks. Number two, why did the Patriots send Chris Sims home without a workout? No one in New England's going to touch that one, but I will. At least I'll tell you what I think. The Patriots don't like being told what to do. They don't like news being broken on their players or their plans. More than any team in the league, other than maybe Oakland, there is a very high sensitivity to the release of information in Foxborough, be it injury or personnel. And so, when Al Michaels mentions on the NBC telecast that Chris Sims will be brought in for a workout, when ESPN starts running a crawl during the Sunday night baseball game that Sims and Tim Rattay will be brought in for workouts Monday, I believe that really chapped the Patriots. And so whoever leaked the info, whether it came from an agent or player or someone inside the team, highly doubtful. My feeling is, that's him, not me, is the Patriots said, fine, we'll show you how our business operates here. And so when the quarterback showed up, the Patriots said, don't call us, we'll call you, blah, blah, blah. That is basically what I said, but I did not get it from Peter King.
Yeah, and okay, much like I said to you, I'd say I think there's absolutely no chance of any of that being accurate.
So if they had a chance to acquire Peyton Manning tomorrow, but the story leaks, no, screw that.
Right.
Because it was reported, we're gonna spite ourselves.
I think Belichick is, in a lot of ways, he's a stubborn guy, and he's very set in his ways, but I don't think he does anything intentionally that's not in the best interest of the football
right.
team. That, in my opinion, would be him doing something intentionally that wasn't to the best interest of his team.
Right, that's true.
And I don't see that
happen. No, that's a good point.
People need to understand that sometimes when Fred has a line of thinking and a media member has a line of thinking, it comes from similar places, correct, Fred?
I'm
not talking this one. I'm saying in general, occasionally you hear things that other media members might hear.
Maybe. I don't know what you're talking about specifically.
Over the years, you and Glenn Ordway have had similar stances on things.
And every time you've accused me of that, it's been untrue.
Is it ever true?
No, not what Glenn Ordway says.
I think
my point
about
is,
this later. I think you guys are thinking about two different
information
things.
From sources, sometimes two people talk to the same source.
Well, right? I don't have the source that he does. Jason in Alabama says,
not Glenn Ordway, but maybe Peter King.
Right, but
though.
Not in this case. I absolutely just thought of that sitting down here. Jason in Alabama, I can't listen to the show live, so if this has been covered, sorry. I listened to the coach's interview yesterday on EEI, and when he was asked about the roster spot for Kevin Faulk, he said that Brady hadn't been placed on IR at that time. Now, this happened after the 3 p.m. press conference. We still don't know exactly what happened to Brady's knee and Chris Sims and someone else was brought in yesterday, and as soon as they got there, they were told the situation had changed and they were no longer needed, according to Adam Schefter's blog on NFL.com. Is Brady's injury maybe not as – no, what – he just sent –
He's not as serious?
The emailer is looking too far into the fact that the release the Patriots put out said that Brady's knee injury was going to require surgery and his season was over and he will be placed on injured reserve. But he hadn't been placed yet.
Right.
Okay.
But that's more of just a clerical thing.
Right.
Yet the actual paperwork has not been filed yet to put him on an injured reserve.
Right.
And the reason that came up is because Kevin Faulk will be on the active roster, I believe, starting tomorrow, more than likely, right? Or maybe even today.
I think it's today.
Be by today at 4.
Yeah, he might have a one-day exemption, right?
And I think those two moves will coincide.
So I think that the actual the formal injured reserve, the injury is as serious. I can tell you for a fact Well, never mind. I could tell you for a fact that he's already in the hospital. Let's put it that way.
The bottom line is don't get any false hope out of it. This is not a Teddy Bruschi will not play this year, and then he plays.
Right.
Tom Brady is not playing again this year.
And to anticipate, when someone is on IR, that's it. Playoffs, Super Bowl, they cannot play.
But I agree that because I was kind of taken aback yesterday when Belichick said that we'll have to make a roster move, and I was thinking all along, well, you already made one, so you just replaced Brady with him. But he had pointed out specifically that Brady hasn't been placed on IR yet, but he is going to be.
James in Roanoke Rapids is on the phone. James, how you doing?
How y'all doing today?
Good. Sure, this isn't John from Palm Bay. You sound just like him.
Well, it's been a tough couple of days for all Patriot fans as well as all the NFL fans. I tell you, I just hope that Brady can come back next year and be as good as he was back last year.
He'll be better. I guarantee he'll be better. This is going to drive him. Rehabbing will be better.
Remind me
all
to get
you
to
do now is move forward and hope that Matt Castle's better than we all think he is.
Right.
I agree with that, too.
Yeah. Of course, it's not Brady, but now he'll finally get his chance to prove himself.
He doesn't have to be Brady. He needs to be Matt Edwards or
Brad Johnson.
Well, I mean, if we're comparing to like the type of – he doesn't need to be Tom Brady. They need somebody to make a couple plays and get him in the playoffs. Anything can happen.
Right.
They're not going 16-0, so they don't need Tom Brady.
But I think the Patriots right now are in better shape than they were back in 2001 when Brady took over for Bledsoe.
They have
a much better supporting cast around Kevin.
They have a better team, but I don't think their quarterback is anywhere as near as good as the quarterback who replaced him.
No, they're not in better
shape.
The team is far better. It's not even comparable.
The team is much better.
But the quarterback
he's talking about the team.
But it's
the
based
team
on
around
who's
Bledsoe was not as good as the team around Brady.
I agree with you.
No, it's based on who the quarterback
is. I think
it's
totally
he didn't say that. He said the team.
I know, but I think it's totally canceled out.
The team's not in better shape now than it was in 2001, unless you think this team's going to win a Super Bowl.
Well, James, clarify what you mean by the team is in better shape.
Another 52.
No, I say the team's in a better shape as far as losing Brady and as Bledsoe now because he has a better supporting cast, better players around him to pick up where he's lacking.
No, the quarterback's worse.
Yeah, no, he's
saying that the other 52 are better.
Right, and I agree with that.
That's fine.
But I think the whole is not as good as it was in 2001.
Right.
But the other 52 are better.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically it.
But the difference in quarterback,
was Brady that good in 01?
No.
Okay.
But still light years better than what you have now.
I mean, people inside the Patriots that are still here said they still can't believe how they won in 01.
Right.
I mean, they caught lightning in a bottle. A lot of things happened just right in 01 for that team to win.
I agree.
Right. You know, guys unconscious on the sideline.
I agree with all of that. I still think he's a lot better than Castle.
I think time will tell, though. And hopefully we've got something to look forward to this season, at least, to see how well they do. So, all right, y'all have a good day.
Okay, James, thanks for calling in.
James, personally, I was looking forward to seeing if they could win some more games and go to the Super Bowl again. But your whole Brady thing.
What's my Brady thing?
That he's going to come back better than ever.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't know anybody doubting him.
Driven. They'll be doubters. And if he doesn't find him, he'll make him up.
But,
or Rodney will give him to him.
That's true.
But your whole thing that, you know, maybe he didn't take this offseason as seriously as he could have, right?
You've been from Costa Rica.
Right. You've been on that bandwagon from March on,
from day
right?
one.
Okay. Well, what's to say now that he has a taste of 12 full months outside of football and buying land in California and skipping the gala. And
he's Tom Brady.
Hanging out with Giselle.
Well, believe me, I've thought about that. I think there's a chance that Giselle is done.
Because she
falls behind football.
Quotes about, you know, football's not that important. God didn't create football.
That was all from Tom Brady, who was at the top of the football mountain, winning 16 games, all that crap.
Do you think there's a chance that he's away from the game and then he says, you know what?
I think Tom Brady, it's one or the other. There's nothing in between. It's either he quits or he comes back stronger than ever.
Is that a concern for anybody?
It is for me.
Not for me. I think there's like 10%. I actually think there's a good chance that Giselle's done, that she's no longer a part of Tom Brady's life. Because I think she's going to expect that he's still focused on her and going to Costa Rica. and I think he's going to be reinvigorated and focused on football.
I don't know anything about their
relationship. I think that she's secure enough in what she's doing that that's not an issue.
I don't know anything about their relationship to say whether it's done, but I don't think it's going to be done because he's going to say, well, I have to devote to football.
Right, right. I think he's going to be in Foxborough 24/7.
I hate to interrupt TMZ.com online.
Well,
here,
that's
but,
another question I have that I want to bring up.
This isn't TMZ. I'm talking about Brady's desire to get back.
He's just trying to be funny.
No, my point is.
It wasn't.
I know.
I wanted to harp on what Paul said to jump on Andy's point. I'm talking more from a physical standpoint. You mentioned Carson Palmer and Dante Culpepper.
Yep.
I don't think they failed to come back because they weren't driven. It was a physical thing.
Well,
they physically were not able to play anymore.
A combination of things.
And I don't care how, but I don't care how driven you are. If you physically cannot compete.
He will be able to compete.
Yeah, but Culpepper.
Well, how do you know?
Culpepper had mobility before. Brady didn't have mobility anyway. Right.
It's his front leg. It's not even his plant foot.
Palmer is a is almost
Palmer had a really bad injury.
So is this.
So is this.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know the extent of it. We
That's
know
my
that
point.
It's,
so in other
we
words,
know it's an ACL, but Palmer had a dislocated knee.
We don't know that.
And
we don't even
ACL.
Know it's an ACL. We don't
right,
know what
we don't
it
know
is.
Know
so why
is.
We so we can't we don't say so we can't say with certainty that he's going to come back better than ever.
Right.
Exactly. We don't know what it is.
We don't know what it is.
I think we can say with certainty because it's his front leg. I think it's mildly irrelevant. He's not going to run around. He's still going to be able to slide left and slide right. That's all he's going to do.
Okay, well, that's, you know, we'll see. Paulie and
oh, Palmer's the left, too?
Yeah. I don't think Carson Palmer stinks now just because of his ACL injury.
I think that's a big part.
I think there's a lot that's come together. See, I might disregard it because I had the exact same injury, and I don't think it affected me all that much. But I think much more is made of this in modern medicine than should be. I think 20 years ago it ended your career. I think now if you rehab properly, which is not in a Walmart somewhere where
– right. Which is Don, what
Dante Culpepper did.
Right. Yeah.
If you rehab properly and come back to the same team, I think you're going to be the same guy. He's not a running back. He's
question,
not a wide receiver.
Once Brady is able to move around on his own,
yep.
Do you have him around the team?
No. For the same reason Tim Rattay and Chris Sims got sent home.
I agree. I think he's gone for the season.
I also think that's why it had to happen on Monday because as of Tuesday, it's Matt Cassel's team. All the Brady, they put out a release. He's on IR. Tom played quarterback, but it was one position. He played it very well.
Yep.
Matt's our guy.
Why don't we want him to try to
help? I want these guys focusing on the guys that they have with them. Brady's not able to help them on the field. I don't want him to be a reminder of what they lost.
But he can't be a help to Matt Cassel.
He probably could, but I think he's got enough help. I think he's got Josh McDaniels. He's got Belichick. He's got his other coaches.
I disagree. I think he could help.
I think
well,
I
what are
to
we
see the guy on the field
here?
Who made those same reads tell him how to make those reads and do those same things.
Well,
what are we talking about
I'm
here? Because I think he'll
Bledsoe
talk with
role.
Cassel.
Exactly.
I don't think he'll be on the field. I don't think you'll see him again.
Well,
I think he should
Bledsoe,
be.
Bledsoe wasn't on IR.
I think Matt Cassel
This guy's
will
on IR. He's done.
No, I understand that.
So there shouldn't be any bitterness about being on the field on the sideline. If Bledsoe could do it,
I'm not talking about bitterness. I'm just saying...
No, but I'm saying I think he should be there.
No, you're right. Okay. That is the difference, Fred. You're absolutely right. Because Bledsoe was still on the team. He wasn't on IR. And he was working his way back.
Right.
So there's, you know, the rules about IR. They're generally those guys aren't on the sideline.
Right.
I look at Belichick saying anything I can do to help my team. And I got to think that Brady could help. In some
yeah,
way.
I think that,
I think he'll help. I think he'll have interaction with Matt Cassel on a personal level, whether it's in a meeting room. I just think on a team level, you won't
well,
see
if he, he's
Tom
here,
Brady.
Is he here or not?
I don't think he's here. I don't even think he's here.
Well, you don't even think he's going to rehab here?
Probably not, no.
He probably won't.
I don't think so.
Costa Rica again?
Well, I don't care about the sideline. I'm talking about, you know,
no,
here
meeting
or not.
Rooms. Yeah, I don't think
yeah,
he's
I'm
here.
Talking about in general.
See, I think he's here. I think he's got. I think he can help.
Could be.
Okay. Well, I don't think he will be here.
I don't think he'll be here either.
Do you think he shouldn't be here because you're, again, worried about Cassel?
No, that's what
psyche?
I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm not saying what I think.
You think
well,
he's that fragile?
I'm
I mean,
also
really,
worried about
if he's
the
that fragile,
all-pro wide receiver psyche.
Yeah, if he's that
fragile, then we have bigger problems than just, you know.
It's not just Matt Cassel. It's Randy Moss.
That's
every
the
time
guy.
He looks at and looks yearningly at
well, then this
at
is
going to
be a disaster then.
Well, I think Randy Moss is the guy I'm most worried about
yeah.
psychologically.
What, did he sign a 3-year deal?
Yep.
You know, I'm the other guys.
Because we saw Matt Cassel miss him on a throw crossing, and he didn't make an attempt to catch the ball, sort of jogged off the field. I think he's a volatile. I know he's a captain now and everything.
Right, and I think thank God for that because that's something that the coach can remind him, hey, you're a captain now.
Yeah.
You're a leader, you know.
But it makes it worse if he's not a leader.
Right. But let's hope. Paulie in L.A. says, what was the attitude when Bledsoe went down? Did everyone have the same insecurities, fears about Brady? I remember everyone crying and whining about their season being over. What do you guys remember?
that.
Well, they were 0-2 at the time.
I do.
Everybody, and they were 5-11 the year before.
Everybody thought the season was over. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just a different set of circumstances now.
Is it coach speak when Bill says that Brady was clearly the leader of that rookie class and he had already established himself as that's his personality? And
well, there's no doubt he leapfrogged to number two.
No, I'm talking about mentality. Like that he – Bill used the example when we talked about in the press conference that he was like one of those automatic
– Yeah.
leaders. Like when he's in a group, he rises to the front. That he has that personality, that dynamic, and is there a chance Matt Cassel doesn't?
I don't know.
That's stuff that they only know.
Yeah. Sam and
but
Sam.
Bill must have a little confidence. I mean, if he was this puddle of goo like we're sort of making him out to be based on our little theories, then I don't think he'd be here. I don't think Bill would have trusted him for 2.5 years now as a puddle of goo.
I mean, that is the big question.
But I do, in the back of my mind, fall back on what Pete Carroll told me when he drafted him, is that he looked a lot better in practice than he did in games. You know, so
but he didn't get in games.
They have – why do you have to be so literal?
I thought he never played.
They have live competitions.
Fun fact. He looks better in practice than games. It's a fun freaking fact.
In college, when you have your process, you know your spring practice, you have a big sprint game that
it's just a fun fact
at that level draws more people than will be inside Gillette Stadium in 2 weeks for the Dolphins game.
Oh wow!
I mean,
shot at fans across the bow.
No, I'm talking about the size of the stadiums and the psychotic nature of college football fans.
Pasadena big.
Yes.
Practice there.
I mean, Ohio State, Florida. These teams play in front of packed houses. Notre Dame, their spring games are very big things. And Pete just said that he didn't play as well in a game setting, and he did throw 30 whatever passes as a in regular games too. He just said he didn't play as well in games as he did in practice. And that to me, why would that be? Well, that's got to be mental.
I just don't
obviously
like
he has the physical
setting
right.
I don't like the precedent we're setting here about treating Matt Cassel if he's more fragile than an egg. Can't have somebody in here looking over his shoulder. Can't have someone on the sideline reminding him of the past.
It's not him. It's not him that I'm worried about reminding. It's the rest of the guys, really.
The
veterans.
The quarterback thing could play in, too, because if you have Moss saying, well, put in frickin' Sims, because he's played in this league.
Isn't this supposed to be a veteran team that can handle this stuff? So why the fragile psyche all of a sudden?
Hey.
If that's the case, then it's a big problem.
They lost their compass.
Sam at San Diego says Derek Anderson might be available for a trade. Brady Quinn era may start soon and look for the Patriots to look into a possible trade with the Browns. Other options might be Rex Grossman or Jake Plummer coming out of retirement.
Rex Grossman.
And you got this from where?
That's a lot better.
I don't think there's any chance you're trading for Derek Anderson.
No.
And I don't think there's any chance Bill would have Rex Grossman. He is.
They both just signed under huge contracts now, Derek Anderson and Brady Quinn, right?
Right.
So they're not going to trade one of those. I mean, you're going to trade a guy who has a big contract so he could play 10 games for you?
If Anderson doesn't do well and Quinn comes in, it's still going to be time before you're sold on Quinn. So if they're ready to trade, it's not till like week 10, 11.
Right.
You've
already eaten the guaranteed money.
And that's past the trading deadline.
Right.
Rex Grossman, I don't really think we need to address that. I mean, I think we have a guy who's better than him.
He's a jailbreak quarterback. You never know what's going to happen when he's dropping back. He could do anything. He's like C.J. Jones returning kicks.
Did C.J. Jones fumble in week one?
No, he couldn't.
He held on to his dinner roll.
Vanessa says, yo, it's Vanessa working at Raytheon. My company gets enough plugs thanks to the hall.
Yeah, it's Vinesy, isn't it?
Vinesy? Oh, I said Vanessa. I love our defense this year. They are only getting better from here, if you ask me. And much like 01, I think it's how the Pats can win games. Brady started off a very conservative QB due to his coaching. That's what Bill likes. So I think that someone like Cassel, who seems to work real hard, can be plugged into the system. A big concern of mine, though, is if Matt Light or someone else on the O-line has a bad night where Cassel just has to accept he is going to get his bell rung on a bunch of plays. Can he take the big hits? He hasn't taken big hits since high school, and I think that getting under pressure and hit a few times will certainly change his mindset and his ability to perform. Has anyone really laid him out in practice?
No. You're not allowed to do that.
Do you think that we might see Kevin O'Connell actually swap in and out with Cassel because he has that nice Vic-like run option for, say, the red zone offense?
First of all, he's not Vic-like. He's a good athlete, but
Vic-like.
There's nobody in the league right now who's, well, except maybe the guy in Tennessee who's fighting with Lord only knows who at this point.
Dogs?
Kevin O'Connell's a good athlete, but he's not Michael Vick, who ran a 4, whatever you want to call it, how fast it was. He was ridiculous. Freddie, I got a quick question for you on the defense.
Can I finish this, though, 1 second? Just one more paragraph. I haven't liked one of the names mentioned for bringing in a QB. Maybe they could trade for Alex Smith, someone who could be good, is surrounded by talent, but he has had four different offensive coordinators in the 4 years he has been with the 49ers, and they love to make stupid trades with the Pats. That'd be a stupid trade for the Pats.
Yeah, he stinks. Freddie, the defense getting better. In the last 5 games, how many interceptions does Ellis Hobbs have?
2? 4. Four.
Has an interception in 4 out of the last 5 games he's played, including postseason. It's a fun fact.
That is a fun fact.
Paul had to look it up. He wasn't buying the San Diego game.
I still don't remember the San Diego one. He had one against the Giants in the last game.
Both Giants games.
I'm a little concerned. He didn't have one in the Jacksonville one. Then he had one against San Diego, one against the Giants, and one against Kansas City.
Fred, a point in that last email about, you know, just plug him into the system and it's fine. So now, what, Tom Brady's a system quarterback?
Well, no.
Isn't that the perception you try to knock down for 6 years?
That's the fine line you have to, you know, when you talk about
this
things like that.
This is crap I don't want
to
hear.
You're playing the role of Fred Kirsch, you got to be careful when you're one of your roles.
Well, you don't
want to
disrespect Tom Brady. I mean, you know, you don't replace Tom Brady.
Let me say this, too, okay? I thought in 2001... what you said about that team, Fred, was accurate because they, you know, they had a lot of games they caught lightning in a bottle and could have lost, but they won. But there were also a lot of those games, 3-4 different times, they were on the verge of losing. And Brady did something special to avoid the loss. Right off the top of my head, San Diego, down 10, 3 minutes left, they force overtime, win in overtime. Threw the ball about 50 times that day. That was his third game. That's so much for breaking them in slow. I think he threw the ball 50-plus times in his third start. You know, beyond that, Buffalo in overtime. They were in the Meadowlands against the Jets, down 13-0 at half, getting absolutely killed. They come back and win second half. Well, how did they do that? By throwing the ball on every down, 17-16, one of the biggest wins of the year. I'm not sure Matt Castle can take those two or three games and make that play that needs to be made. I have a lot of confidence in Castle being a game manager and doing what he did on Sunday and not losing the game for you. But there are going to be times that they're going to need to have the game won for them, and I don't think that quarterback exists.
And
that's where I thought that Brady is separated to back up what Mike just said. He's not a system quarterback. He's a special quarterback.
Right. And that's why
and
this
everybody
team's
thinks
not
you can just pick them off trees, and you can't. That's what separates this.
No.
Brent writes,
the team
there was
is
no
not
discussion
right
of
now.
The quarterback in that. He was saying the team was better.
Then say the supporting cast is better, not the team.
Well, that's what he said.
Right, but I would say.
You're saying the team. The team includes the quarterback.
Yeah.
No.
I would say
the team
is not better.
That the quarterback inherited. The quarterback was taken out of the mix.
Yes, he has inherited a better team.
That's what he was saying.
So basically, you could make this. Brady was forced to make those plays in 01. Castle may not because he's got a better team around him.
That's crazy. Brady's forced to make them now. Brady's been forced to make them last year. They went 16-0, and he had to do it 4 or 5 times.
No, I mean, they might, and they that's why they might be 10-6.
Well, we'll also see if this defense is better than the
0-1
defense.
Because he won't do those.
Because I don't think that's a slam dunk either.
But you're assuming the games that Brady didn't have to win by himself. He didn't have anything to do with them not having to win it by himself at the end.
Well, I mean, most people think that they're going to be 10-6. The reason why is because of the guys around Matt Castle. It's not because of Matt Castle.
Okay. They're not saying. Like I just said, though, I wanted to ask Paul about this. This is not a slam dunk that this defense is as good as the 0-1 defense.
Statistically, no. Personnel-wise, I think it's better. But that remains to be seen if they allow fewer points.
Right,
that's the thing. Yeah. I don't know how that defense only allowed 250 whatever points they allowed that year, but they did. They stopped everybody in the red zone
break.
All year.
Right.
Well, and if they can do that again, then they'll be okay.
Rivers in the shotgun formation. Takes Dwayne the snap, Boat back to throw, it. Looks, fires right. It long and deep left side, could be picked off. It is! Intercepted by Ellis Hobbs!
It did happen.
Well, I wasn't listening.
San Diego.
AFC Championship.
Oh.
Sorry.
Brent writes in, first thing, I think you're forgetting that Castle will not be getting all of the reps in practice and will get his timing better with Moss and Welker and whatnot during all of the snaps with the first team. I am making the assumption that Brady was taking most of the snaps with the ones in practice during the preseason. I'm worried, but I think that they will be a playoff team. Also, it's 45 minutes into the show, and I did not notice that Eric was gone. I guess that says something about the wannabe Van Gogh.
Lubricants.
He should cut his ear off.
Is that Van Gogh or Picasso?
If he cut his ear off, his head would tilt to one side, right? He's got pretty big ears.
What happened if you chop his nose off?
Oh, then he'd fall flat on his face.
He'd need stitches in his forehead.
No,
he'd fall on his back, exactly, actually. It would throw him off.
Right, exactly.
I got to tell you, though, I've been hooked on the Olympics.
He's such a tool.
Let's see. Matt from Quincy says, according to NFL.com, Brady was placed on IR yesterday. So I don't know.
I haven't seen the transaction sheet.
According to the Patriots, he has not yet been, unless they've done it in the last 2 hours when we've been on the air.
That would still be today. Right?
Strippers wants to remind us all, Mendenhall, 10 carries, 28 yards.
The guy said yesterday.
But either way, that would still be today, not yesterday.
2.8.
If it happened in the last 2 hours.
Well, right, all right.
What happened? He was off. He was averaging 6 yards a carry at one point, and then something happened.
He did.
He had his second carry.
He had a 9 yard carry too. So the rest of them.
Two for 15, and then what? For
no, his long was 9.
Oh, you know what I realized too.
Two for 15, a 9 and a 6 is 15.
Oh, right.
Remember we were talking about the Tennessee game, and I said that Vince Young had thrown for 110 yards, and Bo Scaife had 105. Well, a lot of that was from Collins. A lot of the 105 was from Collins. So. I didn't realize that he had gotten hurt, obviously.
Guys are here.
Not sure he did at this point.
Oh, he's out for a month.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's hurt.
Oh, he's. Did you
did
see
Terry
that hit?
Glenn have a bit? I thought hit? It was a hamstring.
Oh, no. Sprained MCL. The hit looked worse than Brady's. I don't know how he didn't tear.
Then why did
Scaife
there's
out?
Quotes from Jeff Fisher saying that right now all we're worried about is the hamstring.
It's not as bad as they originally thought, I guess. But it looked awful.
Didn't you tell
me
he was going to play the other night when I picked them?
No,
when you
I
were
said,
yelling out games to me, and you said Fisher said he'll play.
He did. He said it's not as bad as we originally
now
thought. We expected him to
he's
play.
Out 4 weeks.
That's a direct quote from Jeff Fisher. He's out 2 to 4 weeks. I can't believe
Andy
he's not
Hart
out for.
Loses
if you saw
again.
The hit, I can't believe he's not out for the year.
Who?
Vince Young. Did you like when you really when you leave here like on Sunday night? You do not give the NFL one
yesterday.
Second of thought, do you?
I get a Fred Kirsch-like story. You know when you do something stupid in the backyard and you look around to make sure like no one can see?
Well, yours, how could they? You're miles away from everyone.
They would really be trespassing.
I was actually in the front yard.
Yeah, a helicopter hovering above.
You know how my front yard is raised, Paul? There's like that stone wall.
Yes, to keep the masses out.
there's a
moat around it, too.
There's a part that's about 3.5 feet high, and I was doing the first time I've ever done the front lawn with the riding lawnmower, and I'm backing up to start. And I guess I got, like, nervous and accidentally hit reverse. I went backwards off the stone wall. I had to jump off the lawnmower as the stone wall is balancing on the I thought I was going to die.
And the thing comes over.
But amazingly, nothing happened. Like, the blades still turn. Nothing happened.
Oh, you got one of the most expensive lawnmowers in the market.
I got a normal Cub Cadet.
Cub Cadet? Those are expensive.
Every lawnmower costs you $2,000. No matter what you buy, it's $2,000.
Sean says, in my opinion,
sorry,
when we
consider guy that comes and does it
when
like
we
you.
Consider the team's potential now that Brady's out for the season, the bottom line is Randy Moss. If Moss stays motivated and works with Castle, I think we still have a decent chance of making the postseason. If Castle is at least okay, not great but good, then Moss can make him better and keep the deep pass game a threat. We've got great depth and talent at running back and hopefully a solid defense. So if Moss is playing with heart and provides even just a few plays a game to keep opponents honest, then we can be competitive at least in most games this season. If Moss quits on us, I think we might be effed.
Where were all
Welker,
these people?
Welker is fantastic, but if Moss isn't a deep threat, they can crowd him.
Where were all these people all summer that wanted Castle cut and that we got 855 SPFWs after cuts? They cut the wrong man.
Yep.
There was nobody.
The Turk read the list wrong.
It was one of the few topics that was controversial around here that was unanimous.
That was before Matt Castle was 3rd and 11 at his 1 yard line.
There was not one.
There
was not one person who said, "I think that Bill made the right move by keeping Castle." Not one. It was literally, right?
You said it was the right move.
I'm talking about the SPFWs.
Of course you did. He's always right.
I'm talking about the SPFWs. Fred, you said too. You should give yourself a pat on the back.
You're missing. It's the Fred rule.
He
was a backup. He was a nice story to make fun of.
Why are all these people now saying
that? Because he's the starter. It's just like why Delph O'Neal sucked in Cincinnati, and now he's an all-pro corner here. He's starting for the New England Patriots. It's that simple. don't look for more than it is. Praising Castle.
I'm not looking.
The fans
we're just
are praising
out
Castle.
Hypocrisy. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not looking for an explanation, and I'm not wondering why it is. I'm simply asking, where were all these people all
people
summer?
That
right
were,
there.
The people that were doing
the
those
same
emails
ones
aren't emailing
emails.
In right
these
now.
These are the same people that are wrote
they're
those
the same
emails.
People who 2 weeks ago were so angry that they were saying they're 10-6. Now they just flat
10-6 with Brady.
Right, right.
Now they're 11-5 because Castle's
they're like
Brady was the problem.
They do not deal with emotion well. They short circuit internally.
We're fans. We actually get excited about
it. I do too.
You can get excited and be intelligent.
All right, that's it. Okay, Mike.
okay, Mike.
That'll be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be back Thursday with another show. Lots of emails. John Rook's here. Crossover time. I forgot. It's now the in season. Eric's not here.
Idiot.
You didn't see him on your way in? I mean, you live in Rhode Island. I see
do
you
I,
just look around
like
and you
Eric?
Know everybody.
No, I thought Eric was going to do the show with you sometimes this year.
He is going to, apparently.
No, stop telling lies.
From you know, on occasion.
Is he going to come to your mom's basement?
No.
Oh.
No, sorry. Nobody's going to the mom's basement except me. I've got the exclusive domain to mom's basement. But, yes, occasionally there will be Eric. Brian Lowe will also be occasional. Mike Parenti is actually going to acquiesce on
really?
A couple
do
of occasions.
Do we have a schedule for this?
No.
That's news to me, but I'm glad I'm down. Really. I'm down.
At some point. At some
John,
point.
What's your take?
On everything?
Yeah, well, you know, on
bring
like,
it all together
Patriot
in about 30
place
seconds.
And, you know, the CBSC. No, on what it's happened on Sunday.
Pretty clear. We now suck. Everybody's talking.
Wow.
I mean,
you might want to talk to Fred
that.
Before you do your show.
I don't
show.
Believe that for a second. I don't believe that you think
well,
that for a second.
Of course not.
All right.
Of course not. Absolutely not. In fact, I kind
if
of.
If you did, you wouldn't be allowed
at,
on the air.
Well, no, but I mean, let's face it. I don't think, you know, I think the initial reaction would be to, oh, I don't know how we can possibly overcome all of this and or any of this just because of Tom Brady being Tom Brady. But, frankly, I think that does a great disservice to the other 52 guys on this roster. I mean, this has not been a one-man team, you know, for the three Super Bowl seasons that they have had, you know, in the last 7 years. So, in that regard, let's wait and see how this thing plays out a little bit. Granted, we'd all love to have him, but it ain't going to happen.
Tom Brady's I'm not actually, walking through that.
Exactly. Door. You beat me to it.
I'm actually just mildly surprised.
Limp, maybe.
And maybe this says a little bit more, and I'm sure you guys have probably mentioned this, mildly surprised that they actually did not bring in anybody to work out at quarterback, which tells me they have enough confidence and have seen enough in practices day to day that Matt Castle can do exactly what they want him to do in order to be able to put this team in position to win.
Okay. I couldn't have said it better myself. John, you're going to be continuing. I will hand over the many, 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 many emails that we didn't get to today.
Well, so. We'll do some of your emails, and
right.
everybody else is welcome
oh,
to email
my
their
emails
own.
Aren't good enough for you?
No, no,
you have
no.
to get your own?
I have to get some emails.
I'm only kidding.
Hey, you left me some brownies. I like
no,
those.
Nobody,
don't touch those.
I just want to make sure that people who are listening to our show keep listening because John could get you your email.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, of course we will. And we read them all. We may not get them all on the air, but we read them all, Fred. You
okay.
know that.
Oh,
right?
sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. All right. John Rook coming up. Patriots Playbook. We'll see you Thursday.